If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
All right, well, welcome to the second episode of If Lands Could Kill. Once again, I am Knife City.
This is Reich.
I'm A Quickness.
Hot Sauce.
Yeah! So, you know, welcome back. We've had quite a few bumps in the road in regards to actually getting our first episode uploaded. Most of the problems have been on my end, you know, not getting the right format or size.
But, yeah, definitely not the right size.
No, it's never the right size. It's just enough, though. It's just enough. We are going to be up on MTG Cast here pretty soon. The first episode is going to be up on there
soon. It's actually
soon.
Already up.
Well, technically it's already up, but the actual MP3 is not up there. Mm-hmm. They're going through a new submission process. And so hopefully later today we'll get the first episode actually up there. And then, you know, maybe tomorrow I'll get the second episode. So they'll be in quick succession, but,
first episode is on YouTube. I don't know if you want to go ahead and mention
the
that.
First episode is on YouTube. If you would like to check it out on there, check out If Lands Could Kill on YouTube. That's the username. Our email is also iflandscouldkill@gmail.com.
And check out our Facebook page.
And check out our Facebook. Yeah, like us on Facebook. I don't think I've liked us on Facebook yet. And I don't like us that much, so I probably won't.
I think we'll have to get a Twitter up too, because I need to tweet how many times I go to the bathroom a day and stuff.
I don't like that word, tweet. I don't like that word.
You know, okay, so you want to Twitter it? The Twitterverse? No. What do they call it? Twitterverse?
So I got a Twitter just for Magic because like that's all they use. That's like their main, you know, media,
outlet.
So, I'm on there, and I feel old because I don't know how to fucking use Twitter. You know, like I've just always done MySpace and Facebook
Such
or whatever.
A hipster thing.
Yeah, so I'm like all these hashtags and retweets. Yeah, and so I just feel
in
like
in my day that was called the pound sign.
So I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Happy bird.
What is this? Yeah. What is this pound sign? YOLO swag for Jesus.
Oh my God. But I haven't had too much success on people actually tweeting me back. Like I've tweeted some people, everybody just ignores me. They're like, "Who's this fucking guy?" But so, anyways, all right. You know what's new in your guys' lives before we hop right into the Magic?
Man, games. I'm addicted. I'm addicted to playing EVE Online again.
What?
EVE Online is an MMO. It's a space MMO.
Is that one you were talking about?
Yeah, it's that one I'm talking about. Like that, this big shit happened like a couple weeks back, where like they say like around if you totaled up the money that you'd put into the game, if you bought their in-game time or whatever that people trade with, it could be up like it's like $300,000 lost in one fight, and it like took the span over like 24 hours to conclude this big ass battle. So I mean, I've been nerding out on that for
sounds
the past
pretty
like,
epic.
Like month and a half now.
Nice,
but yeah, other than that, it's fucking. It's taking my life away.
I've just, other than Magic, I've been playing Xbox One. I got the Xbox One shortly after it came out, and just been playing Call of Duty Ghosts. And I got a couple other games, but just been dicking around on there.
Nice.
I got the open beta for a game called Titanfall, coming out on, I know it's PC and Xbox 360 and Xbox One. And, it was only open for like 3 days. It's a really fast paced version, like a hybrid between like a Battlefield, Call of Duty, Halo. It gets all the good parts of all that stuff, adds in mechs for their vehicles, and everything's really fluid. If you guys have played Call of Duty, you know how tight the controls are, so it feels just as tight as that in a mech or on the ground, and it was pretty awesome. So that beta's over, but it comes out, I know it comes out in March sometime, so.
Yeah, some that I'll check out. Definitely.
Yeah. Nice. Really, really good. And besides that, I read Bioshock Rapture.
Oh shit,
which is
a book?
Prequel to the first Bioshock.
Did you hear about their fucking closing down the studio that made Bioshock?
What's going on with that?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't read too much into it. I heard like the founder or whatever is like, I'm done. That's cool. I'm gonna do something else now.
From my understanding is that he broke the studio down to 15 people, core people, and he's gonna work on narrative-driven storytelling, like Return to Zork.
Like the Walking Dead thing?
Not like those, not quite, because those are gonna be, I think it's gonna have an element of like the third person, first person or something like that.
Okay.
But it's gonna be more narrative. I don't think it's gonna
like
be
as
narrative.
Of us almost, in a way. Yeah. It's not
probably.
Like,
that's how I'm getting from it. Yeah. He said he wants to make it, also he's never gonna release anything on disc anymore. This is everything from the future is all it's gonna be digital download only.
Yeah.
It's always moving to the future,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, just like Half-Life 3.
You gotta eventually make that move sometime.
Come on.
Half-Life 3.
Anyways, that's pretty much it for me.
What about you?
Just been playing my normal games. I play a lot of League when I'm not playing Magic. It's pretty cool. They introduced a temporary game mode called Hexakill. Whereas League, it's a 5-on-5 MOBA, multi-online battle arena. Now I have Hexakill, which is a 6-versus-6, which is pretty cool. I just got back into WoW, because I was getting kind of bored of the games I played.
Oh, wow.
So. Wow, what the hell is this? Get out of here.
Boomers!
Get this man out of here.
You don't have the time to research Magic and brew and do the finances
and WoW
and
get to like level 90.
Okay, I've been playing WoW, I was about like
forever.
Pretty much for like a 4-year like stint straight, and then I was kind of off and on
literally
the past
straight.
Couple years.
Didn't go to the bathroom at all.
Yeah, exactly. So now WoW is kind of like on autopilot. I do a lot of other things. Like I was watching the most recent Pro Tour.
Yeah, that Pro Tour.
I was looking up like articles on like Born of the Gods, what, you know, breakout cards people think, different deck techs, things like that. So, you know, yeah, I play these other games, but like I have a dual monitor, so like on my second screen it's something usually Magic related. I'm always looking up or watching.
Before we get in straight into Magic, have you guys played any of these other Magic-esque games?
Oh, Hearthstone, yes.
Okay, yes. Hearthstone, I played it, I got the beta and I was playing it, I got one of, you know, my mage character pretty far up there, and then I just kinda like, whatever, and I went back, you know, to Magic, and I just played it the other day, and it's like a nice little refresher for Magic.
It's like you don't have your brain is not as taxed playing Hearthstone.
Exactly.
It's more, I don't know, not fast-paced, but it's
user-friendly?
It feels fluid, but it's not, it doesn't have the depth of Magic.
There's less decisions to make.
Yeah, exactly.
Your head doesn't hurt afterwards.
You can't play an instant 7 times per turn, you know, in 7 different sections. You can only do it. Yeah. And there's only 3 steps or whatever there is, you know.
You can't have like 4 creatures to their 2 and like say like protect your life total. No, they can just go over your creatures. Yeah. They don't block like in Magic, so.
I mean, I definitely like Hearthstone. I don't plan on like getting like heavily into it, but it's like, it's one of those games, it's like a cell phone game to me, almost.
It's
like where I'm gonna play it for 10 minutes or 20 minutes and then I'm not gonna play it for a couple days or whatever.
I totally agree with that, cause that game is like, it's definitely, it's not the same thing. It's still like a kind of a trading, not really a trading card game, so I don't know if you can trade cards yet.
No.
It's like a card collection game, but it's definitely nothing like Magic. You know, in terms of depth and like just the way you play it. But I mean, it's cool break. It's, you know, it's a fun game. I'm props to Blizzard for doing that, because it is really fun.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not
Soulforge. Anybody?
I've seen it most recently, because with Soulforge, it's free and you can log in and you get a reward for just logging in per day. I've been doing that. You get a reward for winning your first match, and you get a reward for winning 3 matches. So I've been doing that. You don't even have to play against like other people to get these rewards.
The
you can play the CPU to get them. But I'm really starting to get into it, and I think it's going to be good to get it now, because especially since
you think it's going
to
blow up or something?
I think it's going to get pretty big. You know, Brian Kibler, he's a huge Pro Tour Magic player.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Yeah, exactly. And he's actually one of the designers on Soulforge. Star City Games is now actually starting to sponsor and promote Soulforge. So
really?
I'm thinking like
it might be
on par as Magic. It won't be like as popular, I don't think, but I think it's good to get in now just so you can get your collection going.
And then sell them all later.
Can you trade in that game? You can actually trade with other people?
Not yet.
Not yet? They will add it, though?
It's still in beta. They just added a draft portion to it recently, so
it's free to play, right?
It's free to play.
But you can probably like pay money to
get you can pay money things, to like buy the gold. Oh, okay. So there's gold, which you can buy. There's silver, which is in-game currency you can earn. And then there's, like, instead of you get one booster pack, they have different rarities of boosters. You have, like, a normal one where you only get, like, 3 or 4 cards, up to the, like, heroic one where you get, like, 8, and they have greater chances of higher rarity cards in them. But,
I didn't really like it. Like, I played it, and it just...
It's definitely different because you have lanes, and you have to place it hard in a lane, well, and they do battle every turn.
Only with that one lane that you put it in?
So, yeah, like, so you have 5 lanes, and then I place one in the center. Say it's a card that if it's placed in the center lane, it gets a bonus where all my other creatures get +2 attack on it.
Oh.
You want to make sure when you're placing creatures that you might, you know, draw into a creature that wants to go into that center lane.
So you
want to
like, have it optimally placed for later turns or something like that.
Exactly. Cool.
It wasn't, I felt like it wasn't intuitive to me, like the little tutorial or whatever.
Yeah.
Like afterwards, like the creatures didn't have what it did, like I had to right click on them to see like what they did, so it's like you really have to know the cards, you know what I mean? Like you recognize the picture and you're like, okay, that card does this.
So you're saying it's not anything like MTGO?
No, God no.
Where it's...
No, it doesn't spell it out for you what the card does, like I said, it's just the picture and then like you have to right click on it to actually, oh yeah, this card does this and that.
Oh, so you're saying it's better than MTGO?
No, well, I mean, it's hard not to be better than MTGO. But, I don't know, I wasn't impressed with it. I uninstalled pretty quickly.
It was cool. You know, you have your lanes, you start out with 100 life, and the object is to reduce their life total down to 0. There's cool things that has a level up system. So you get a hand of, I think it's like 5 or 6 cards. When you're on the play, you can only play 1 card. Every other time after that, you're allowed to play 2 cards a turn. There is no mana base or anything like that.
You just play the cards.
But it has a level up system. So
can you only play 1 a turn or something like that?
On the play, the very first turn, the first player only plays 1 card.
Okay.
Every turn after that, each player can play 2 cards a turn. Cool. But they have a level up system. There's 3 levels and you have to go through, like you get your hand, your opening hand, you play your first card. The opponent plays their 2 cards, and then what happens is you discard your whole hand, and you get a whole new another set of cards. But you only get card levels based on what you use already. So I use 1 level 1, it goes into the discard, and then what they do is they put a level 2 card in my deck. So then I can draw a level 2 card.
Okay.
The next turn. So you kind of level up, and then it has a little level system, so you have to go usually through 4 rounds before you can hit your level 2s. So there is a thing of like bricking where you can be like level 3 and you can be pulling level 3 cards, but you can get a handful of level 1s. So there is kind of the luck aspect, or, you know, you're not always going to just get level 3, level 2s when you're in that level.
That's cool.
But I think it's pretty cool. It's a different, like, it's a nice change of pace.
I'm glad, like, more people are starting to do card game, like, trading card games type deal. Like, cause I mean, I like that genre too. I mean, it's a break from, like, you know, first person shooters and just all those other games that's just like, you know, Call of Duty rehashed. Like,
very action, like, you're just like, it, like you're not really too. Strategy like, wise. Yeah. You're just in that moment. What can you do there? And then this is more of like, chess, you gotta think a couple of like turns ahead, you gotta like build your strategy, stuff like that, so.
Tablet games.
Alright, well, let's hop into some magic.
Oh shoot.
So, if you remember correctly from, our first episode, which isn't online yet,
Corey.
you'll remember that we did a triple Born of the Gods draft, the 4-person draft, right after the podcast. And so, you know, let's go into talking about how that turned out. Do you guys remember who came in first?
No, I don't. Oh, I blocked that out of my memory. I don't know who did that.
That's a little bit of
cool. I think there was a first.
That was Little Knife City going first?
That was Knife City! We bought a whole bunch of extra packs for the winners, so.
This is a triple Born of the Gods, too, by the way.
Triple Born.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Triple Born of the Gods. It was cool to get a lot of new cards, but
getting the new cards was like the whole point, I think. That's what really pushed it over from the traditional 2-1 to Theros 1.
I fully enjoyed it, and, you know, like we were talking about when we were deciding on what to draft, we decided on Triple Born just to be able to play with the cards, and we didn't think that that was gonna, you know, outside of us, we weren't going to be able to draft like that again. But on MTGO, for the they have release events. They have Triple Born of the Gods, which is really cool. I like. I've been doing like a lot of those lately.
I think people just like getting new cards. And just,
yeah,
because a lot of people don't. Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, but like me, I came into this draft not knowing any of the real cards. Like I maybe looked at like some of the the spoilers, just a few of them. But I didn't know, like, the bulk of the cards, like, a lot of the commons and stuff. Like, I had really no idea. So going into it, it's nice to see all the new commons and, like, or a bunch of them and, you know, be able to, like, kind of see their interactions and read the cards as you go.
Definitely.
It's kind of like a surprise.
Let's go through what we drafted. I drafted Black-Blue. Shocker, I know. I forget my really huge, bomby cards.
That freaking Kraken, man.
The Tromocratus.
Oh, dude, that destroyed me.
Holy shit. I think I drew it every game, and I probably played it every game, and it won me almost every game. That thing was crazy. But what really was awesome was the Asphyxiate. You know, it was you know, this is removal, but it's not unconditional removal. There's a lot of ways to tap things and blah, blah, blah. I drafted
sorcery speed too.
Yeah, sorcery speed, double black. But I drafted four of them. I ended up playing three of them, I think, and then two Necrobites, and what's the one blue? When it blocks, you can bounce
the vortex.
The vortex elemental.
Oh yeah,
that's a one drop.
It's a one drop.
It's 0/1.
So in that deck, the vortex elemental is just perfect. You know, black blue wants to control and in the late game, you know, run shit over. And that's what I did. I just controlled the board until I could get, you know, my couple bombs out and then it was game over.
Didn't you have one in yours?
Quickness was playing that.
Of course, it's blue. It's my color.
Blue.
But is that a rare?
No,
it's uncommon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good card though. It's really good.
Yeah, no, it froze me. I remember whoever I was playing, I had three creatures on the board and I wanted to just try to get past it, you know, figure out a way to protect my creatures or destroy that. I was just top decking until I could get that thing off the board and then I can just go in with all my creatures, you know.
Well, the Vortex Elemental is a sweet combo with the Tromocratus because the second ability is like 5 mana and then target creature has to block the Vortex Elemental. You have Tromocratus on the board, if every creature has to block it, correct?
Right.
So you make it block, now it's blocked, and then you get a free Aiden because that creature can't block it, so none of the creatures can block it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's pretty good. It's like setting up an Alpha Strike.
The Vortex Elemental is the... Because I didn't use the second ability, I don't think, but it was...
It's a one drop. It's a blue for an 0/1. Whenever it blocks, you pay a blue, and you shuffle Vortex Elemental, and the thing is blocking back into the owner's library. And I think you play three blue-blue. And target creature opponent controls has to block Vortex Elemental.
Doesn't tap it.
No, you pretty much bounce the creature that's blocking it.
No, but you said target creature blocks Vortex Elemental this turn, so you get like a free...
It has to attack.
No, it blocks. Blocks? Yeah, it's blocks.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that would be a sweet combo. But regardless, I mean, this is good. It's like ensures that any threats...
It's like a kind of a
on
wall.
The ground. Yeah,
it's like a wall. It's like a fog wall. Bank. Yeah, it's like you don't want to attack into it because you're going to get your guy bounced.
And I also pulled a guild, which was just amazing. It was great.
Removal.
Holding your hand, wait for something big.
Fucking
removal unlimited is just... You always take removal.
Wait for the bomb or everything. Unconditional removal. It overperformed for me every time. You know, I don't... I had a whelming wave, which was underwhelming. The underwhelming wave, but it was good when I had the Tromocratus out, because it is a Kraken. But
whelming wave is just bad because it doesn't say Merfolk on it. That's all I gotta say.
But other than that, I mean, it was I liked Triple Born, and there wasn't too many. Oh, and I had the Forlorn Sudama, the zombie maker, the token maker in black.
Yeah. Token generator.
Okay, so I thought this guy was gonna suck. I thought he was the worst. And it turns out, I think he's the best, or at least tied for the best with blue, because I undervalued the intimidate factor. Like, they have to use removal on it, or he's just gonna be pumping out tokens, and I can keep cards in my hand, so it's kinda like card advantage. And I had a game against Hot Sauce, and I, you know, it was kind of a stalemate until I put that thing on the board, and then I just or it wasn't even a stalemate, it's just I was a little bit behind, and through pumping out tokens, I turned it into a stalemate until I could, you know, find some answers, and I ended up winning because of that card, so I think it's definitely really good. So what did you draft, Hot Sauce?
Well, I chose blue, green, red. And the main reasons for that... first of all, I pulled up a Faded Intervention, that instant that brings up the 2/3/3 centaurs. And I wasn't sure if that was going to be a bomb or what, but I chose to do it anyways. And then I also pulled a Cure's Follower. I'm like, all right, cool, that's going to work. So I drafted some other stuff that had Heroic and Inspired and tried to tap and untap all my stuff. And like I pulled the Siren Song... Liar? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and then I also had the
Acroan Conscriptor.
Shh, look at me and my words.
Conspire.
I know read no good. Yeah, that one really helped me out. That was probably my bomb of the game, being able to steal their creatures with all the heroic triggers I had. It was great. It was fantastic. Being able to tap their stuff with one creature, being able to steal a creature with something that I pull out of my hand, attack, and then when I'm done, I can use Kira's Follower and untap my biggest creature. It was an awesome combo. I was third.
Third?
Yeah.
I think you're third.
But yeah. I still felt the deck was pretty strong. You know, it came down to a few health and all that stuff. You know, it came down to top decking, basically.
What pissed me off about your deck was I had that guy... that gives, when he untaps, it gives Intimidate.
Right.
And that so, helps. The War Chanter of Mogus. And for the most part, he was what I wanted to be attacking with. He's the only guy I could attack with. And you just kept tapping him down. I would give him, Intimidate, and then you would just tap him down.
Or I would steal him and use him against you.
Right.
You know, I could tap one of your guys down, steal that guy, give one of my guys Intimidate, which a different color Intimidate or whatever, you know what I mean? And swing in. It was
you kept great. Doing that with Siren Song Lear or whatever that is. Yeah, that kinda pissed me off. That was a good combo.
Yeah. But that's it. I didn't really pull anything that was worth any money, just that foil Kiara's Follower and that's it. You did pull a Manticore, though.
Pull a Chromanticore.
It went around
I forgot
the table,
about
like,
that.
Times,
I actually opened the Chromanticore.
Did you? And it went around.
Went around a bunch, and then finally I just snagged it because I was like, fuck it. I'm going to be that guy who takes the Chromanticore. I didn't play him at all.
So people at home, would you take the Chromanticore, you know? Would you take it and try?
Well, it was Pack 2, though, right?
Pack 2, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard with pack 2. I mean,
pack
2. If it was like pack 1, then you could be like, all right, I'm going all in on this Chromanticore plan. But pack 2, that's rough.
I think if we played sealed and I open a Chromanticore, I'd probably do a sealed Chromanticore.
I think I would.
I think that'd probably be the best way to play it, but yeah, I don't know.
You really think sealed would be the best? Because
I don't know. I feel like sealed, you have enough cards. Well, you may. It depends on what you get.
You have a lot of cards, but your card selection is not going to be great. I think it'd probably be a little bit easier in draft because you can sculpt your deck to work around it rather than just having to play cards that kind of just follow the theme. And then, like, I think you have to be base green, though.
Yeah.
Get the Chromanticore online.
Right.
If you're not base green, you can't play Chromanticore. Pretty much is what I'm saying.
So what did you draft, quick?
I drafted a blue-white kind of heroic deck that was splashing black for a lot of the removal.
Did you have a name for it, though? I thought you had a name for that deck.
Oh, yeah, it was Esper Garbage. Esper Garbage.
Haven't heard of it? Yeah, it's a quickness exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. So,
we're going to have the deck tech next episode.
I think and triple Born of the Gods, I don't think it's a viable deck choice. But when you have the Born of the Gods double Theros, I think it's probably one of the best decks. I think just any white X heroic deck is probably the best deck in the format right now. Pretty much. I mean, like, white's the best color.
Oh, yeah.
You have so many heroic enablers and heroic recipients.
Bestow.
So, yeah, you have all these bestow creatures, which are, like, badass. Like, really good. I think the cycle of just the vanilla bestow creatures, I think, is really what this format needed.
Yeah, definitely.
So now I know next draft I'm going to take everything that's not white, because you guys are going to fight over white, and then I'll be able to get all the cards that I want while you guys are fighting for the petty uncommon white cards.
This has nothing to do with anything that's current, but it was it our first draft we did ever with us? Fucking, it was M14, and white was so bad in M14 that nobody took anything white, and then Hot Sauce just built this, like, badass mono-white deck that...
You took all the white.
You came in second, right?
Yeah, I came in first.
You came in first?
No, I came in second, because you're right, we were down to the last match. It was game three between me and Reich, and it was, like, down to where we had the board was flooded on both sides, and we were just waiting to... It was stalemate. No one was attacking, because if I attacked and didn't kill you, he would come in and kill me. So we were just standing there.
We're just
like
waiting for some kind of way to win.
But that was great. We were talking shit about white the whole time we were playing. We're like, oh, look at these terrible cards. I'm playing along with it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, I built
them. Yeah, I took all the white. Like, what? Literally pick of the litter for it. You know, like, yeah, I mean, litter. Still, weak, though, that was good though.
Pick of the litter.
You got, you know, you got up there. And then I drafted, I went safe with my draft. I went, white, green, a lot of flyers. I opened, I think, first pack. I got the Trumbocratus, which was the blue fucking Kraken. And then I started getting, like, Nullify, and, like, you know, I saw a Sphinx Disciple, which was flying, so I was like, all right, I'm gonna go with Evasion Plan. And then I didn't get any more blue after that, so I kind of switched over to white, because I pulled the Akron Skyguard, which is amazing! This two mana, so one white, one colorless, freaking 1/1, but flying heroic. It's so I just went.
Just build up on that.
Yeah, I just went freaking, green white, Voltron kind of deal. And it helped. Yeah, I mean, it was a really good, deck. I ended up turning up second place out of all four of us, which wasn't too bad. But I think the, Akron Skyguard was definitely like the number one player in my deck. And then, the other one I really like was the, freaking Cat Monk, the Orisco's sun guy. Oh, dude. He's not only a cat, but he's a monk. And that's the, it's like, how do you go wrong with that?
That's the
2-mana, 2/2 inspired card. So every time he untaps, you get 2 life. And I know against the quickness, our first game, that was our first game we played. I like literally went up to like 30 life just off this one guy.
Wow.
Cause he had no answers for it. Like I just, you know, kept attacking, you know, for 2 and untapping. And
I had a loyal Pegasus on the board, which obviously you didn't can't do much because I need something else to block with it so I can actually block.
Can't attack or block without, you know, something else doing it. So it turned out pretty fun. But I definitely think Voltron's still the way to go for this format. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, there's some good removal, but if you can, you know, get your guy out there soon enough and start beating away, I mean, it's really good. Ghostblade Eidolon is another fucking great card that I pulled.
That card's really fucking good.
That's kind of solidified me being into white with the bestow mechanic is double strike. I mean, you put it, you know, on anything and it's gonna do some work.
I think the Ghostblade is like the perfect finisher for any white X heroic deck. You know, it's a 2 and a white for a 1/1 with double strike and bestow for a 6, which, you know, you can either play it on turn 3 and then suit it up, or, you know, you can play it on turn 6 and suit something else up and attack for a double strike with haste pretty much because, you know, you're enchanting whatever you're attacking with.
I'll talk a little bit about it later, but I just wanted to mention when I was doing a draft online, I put a Ghostblade on the Eidolon of Countless Battles, which was already on something else. Fucked shit up. It was just like, yeah, that's a game.
Yeah.
As soon as I bestowed it, he's just like, concede.
Hit me for 12. Ah, crap.
The freaking bestow is such, it's fun, but it can be frustrating at times when you have no way to answer for anything with evasion if they have intimidate or flying. You know, it really comes down to like, I feel in my experience, it's just kind of like Voltron's kind of almost the sure thing if you have no way to answer it. I mean, there's nothing you can do when they have flying and they, you know, you get like the, Ghostblade Eidolon, and then you get what's the white one that gives lifelink, Eidolon?
Hopeful Eidolon.
The Hopeful Eidolon. You get, you know, gaining life, attacking for like, you know, 6 damage every turn.
Yeah.
And you know, if you don't have any flyers, any way to like, you know, answer them, it can get out of hand and then just keep bestowing more stuff on it.
That, Eidolon of Countless Battles though, I think is like one of the best cards right now in the format. Just because there's so much bestow, you know, there's a lot of enchantments, very enchantment based, and you know, you're always gonna have creatures, so you're just gonna pump anything up, and if you're bestowing it on something, they happen to kill it, well, then you just start bestowing your Eidolon of Talos Battle.
Yeah, it just falls off and you start bestowing something else.
You're right back to where you were. It's like there's hardly any downtime. It's cheap. Yeah, I mean,
it's three to bring it out, or it's four to bestow. That's super cheap. It's great.
Yeah, the bestow cost on Eidolon is, of Countless Battles, is ridiculous for that. Like, if I will pack one, pick one, and I will force white. Yeah. If that's my pack one, pick one, I will force white.
Yeah, white's really strong, I think, in this format right now. Even just, you know, even in Theros, it was really strong. White was
it's
strong.
Weird because all, like, the good white cards are, like, commons or uncommon. So, of course, you have Brymaz, you know, which is a mythic and stuff like that, which is probably...
Super uncommon. Pushed!
Like, you can't argue that it's the best card out of Born of the Gods, pretty much.
Probably. I've faced it a couple times.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what, like, meta comes around from some of these newer cards from the Born of the Gods. Because I know freaking, you know, we'll probably touch on this, but the Corsair of Kufrix is, like, really, really good right now.
Yeah, why don't we move on to that? Why don't we see what, now we've been playing a little bit. We mentioned a few cards, but what other cards do we think, changed the metagame and everything from Born of the Gods? You know, what have we seen? I know the Corsair, obviously, that's been big. Everyone's been playing that with the Archangel of Thune.
Dominaraid.
Like, all that stuff. It's been great, you know. Yeah, it went from, like, $4 to $9.
It's jumped up, like, you know, double the price. But I think it's a really cool card. I don't know how it's going to play out. We'll have to see when the pros come out, you know, when they do their standard stuff and how they see its position, who starts playing it. But I think it definitely brought Red-Green back on the map. Like, because I feel like, back when Theros is out, like, Red-Green was, you know, maybe tier 1.5. Now, I think this, you know, the new god, Xenagod kind of put it on the map, too.
Xenagod.
I mean, I don't know.
That's what they call him, Xenagod.
Yeah, it's Xenagod. Because, you know, they have the Reveler, Xenagod, which is the Planeswalker. But I think, yeah, Red-Green's kind of coming on the map, so a little more diverse. But I'm not 100% sold on it, because it's only, like, really, you're adding only two more cards to your RG green, you know, your red green monsters build. But I don't know. I think it's, the Corsair is definitely a cool synergy with the
I think Corsair is probably, like, the best card you can get in a red green monsters deck, pretty much, if you pair it with Domri.
Yeah, that card advantage is so
card
nice.
Advantage, so you don't, like, unload your whole hand just to get a Supreme Verdict, and now you're out of gas, and the control player is just, you know, gonna win the game. You gain life, which is, you know, it's always good. You know, it's only one life per land, but, you know, that's something that could make a difference.
Yeah, I feel like freaking...
And then you get to play, you have, like, you can have, like, on turn three, you could have, like, a six-card hand.
Yeah.
You know, instead of bringing down at 4 or 5, playing your lands in the Corsair.
Yeah, I think it kicked kind of Scavenging Oozes out of the format. Because, I mean, there's not that much graveyard hate. I mean, it's nice for, like, Obsidat that bounces. You can kill it in the graveyard with your ooze. But, I mean, I don't feel like ooze is doing so good in standard right now. Like, I've taken it.
Yeah, I've taken that too. Yeah.
On my red green deck,
ooze is just a little too slow. It's more of just like, oh, I can get something out of the graveyard and gain some life.
With so much black removal, it's rough.
Some like with Bile Blight, something like that. Just take it out right away before you can even pump it up.
That Corsair is definitely. I definitely need to get me some of them.
2/4 body for 3. Yes, that's good enough as is.
And what about Kiora? Anybody had a chance to play with him?
Dude, I've dabbled a little bit, but really, it hasn't done too much. It hasn't changed the game all too much for me. Just you get their bomb out of the way, you know, it can't, but you also can't attack it. You also can't do damage to it, so it hasn't really done a lot for me. I haven't played a deck where the -1 was anything crazy either. I would figure this for, like, Maze's End.
Yeah.
That would be sweet, I think. You could put an extra land down, I mean... You get to put 2 gates right there, boom, every turn, as long as it stays alive.
Yeah.
And just use it for that, plus it to protect, because it's a fog effect, and I figured it'd be, that's what I thought about when I got this.
I wanted to put it in my Maze's End deck, but I think just the other cards in the deck are a lot better on their own. Like, with Kiora, you know, if they have, like, 2 creatures out, I'm still not protecting Kiora. You know, I only have to have 1 creature out. And it's just like, I need all the fog effects. Like, I have to have all the fog effects. Mm-hmm. If I take any fog effects out, I'm just theoretically worsening the deck. Like, I'm making it harder.
Well, this is a fog effect. For, you know, you said it's still a little bit vulnerable. Yeah. But then also, you get into your end game faster because you're playing an extra land. Draw a card, play a land. I don't know. I think, I don't play with the deck, so I can't say.
I would rather wait one more mana and play an Urban Evolution and draw three cards and be able to play an extra land.
Yeah, Urban Evolution. I'd
rather
play
Cure, because I don't think the ultimate's gonna really be relevant in any matchup you have in Maze's End.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking forward to do is once, Return of Ravnica rotates out, is moving my Esper control deck into a Bant control deck featuring Cure. And my main thing is just the ultimate Cure or ultimate, Elspeth. Mm-hmm. And win the game.
There you go.
When I read Cure, I don't even pay attention to the ultimate. Like, with
I've
that,
never hit it.
With that, like, if I were to play it in some deck, I don't think I would even care about ultimating it. Just the plus one and minus one just seem like, if I can get just a couple plus ones and a couple minus ones out of it, then it's like, you know, I feel like it's done its job. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the ultimate is just insane, and I would love to have it, but I don't even, like, it's kind of like,
That's like turn 9, though. Turn 9, turn 10. I mean, that's...
Yeah. It's kind of like Liliana, though. It's like, I don't give a shit about the ultimate. It's about the plus one, minus, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm the opposite. Like, I think the plus one, obviously you need it to get to the ultimate. I'm playing the card pretty much for the ultimate. Like, the minus one, draw a card, play an extra land. Playing the extra land's always good. Ramp is always great, but just drawing a card, you know, you pay four mana, you minus one, you make it a one loyalty then, and you draw one card. I much rather play, like, a Memory Adept or an Architect of Thought. Get my card. I'd much rather play a Divination at that point than play four mana for a Planeswalker and minus one already, but I just think the ultimate on this card and how quickly you can achieve it is great, especially if you put it into like a Turbo Fog or like a control deck. Like, that's your win condition right there.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Has Brymaz or whatever found a home yet, besides like White Weenie or something like that?
Control decks.
Is it control, really?
Yeah, Brymaz replaced Archangel.
Oh, okay.
In the blue-white control decks.
Nice.
Yeah, just because,
I mean... That's another crazy card.
They were playing Archangel?
Yes.
That card seems so pushed, though. Like, I don't know what Wizards was thinking when they thought of that card. I think that's just a super pushed card.
Yeah, I did see, like, the reaction with the God. Is that what we touched on that?
Hmm.
The Brymaz with the God. Like, when you bring out... Let me back up. The God... The trigger on the God is when a creature comes out, but it's every upkeep. So you can... If you are defending something and you bring out a token on their
which
turn...
Which God are you talking about?
The blue-white.
Oh, the
and
four?
Then you can draw a card.
Yeah.
On their turn. And then when... And it goes back and forth like that. Yeah. So you can instead of drawing a card once per turn, you can draw it twice.
Yeah, you're drawing a card on their turn, and you're drawing an extra card on your turn.
Exactly. It just took me a while to spit that out.
Yeah, it's okay.
It took me a while to spit that out.
It took me a while to understand it, so it's fine.
It's just, normally you're going to bring out creatures, you know, on your turn, of course, unless you're playing, like, some tokens deck, then maybe you can bring out, like, a worm or some other stuff on their turn, but it's not normally going to happen. This way, you can trigger it, and you can draw two extra cards, so that's awesome.
I think that's pretty good. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I think, like, in a limited format, that'll be good. I think in Constructed, it's a little too clunky and too slow, whereas the format's a lot quicker.
What's too clunky? The God?
The Aphora Brymaz combo.
It's
already up there, so you're gonna be playing turn 3 Brymaz, like turn 4, Fiora, or Aphora, and then you're gonna draw like a card or two, like a card on your turn, actually on a card on their turn. It just goes back to the whole thing, like in a standard format, I might try to have like a Divination or a Jace Architect to draw my cards.
You
that
love
way.
Your Divination.
No, that Divination.
Divination is such a good card, like how could you not love Divination?
Yeah, I know, it is good. But I can still tease you.
All right, so, I mean, I've been doing a lot of limited on MTGO, but I haven't done any deck brewing at all. Like, I kind of in my head, but...
What kind of Magic player are you?
Like, on Tapped Out, I've been doing some brewing, but as actually building a deck and playing it, I haven't really been doing that. And Hot Sauce, you've been mainly brewing, right? How many decks have you built?
I put together two new ones, and I updated two. So the Minotaurs, I can start with that. That it's now, it's not as strong as could be, but I think it's complete. I think that now I'm starting to take cards out because now we have too many choices. Not too many, I mean just right. And there can be replacements with newer cards that come out in the next set or whatever, but I think I have a spot for everything. But before Born of the Gods, I was like, man, I wish I need like four more cards, you know, four more good creatures or something to throw in here. And I was kind of throwing in that that two mana with regenerate, you know, and, yeah, and some other stuff. And I'm like, you know what, it could be stronger. And I also went in like the Rakdos Cracklers, and I, you know, you can play those or you can't. What other one drop do you have? So, but now everything, I think the ramp is pretty good. I'm topping out at five, but I am playing the Ragemongers, which will bring that down to three. So if I can play the Ragemonger down on turn three, then turn four, I can bring up the guy that gives everything plus two, plus zero, and haste, and all that, and it'll, it, and then I can, you know, bring out my, what's the 2/2 land? What the hell was I thinking?
Mutavault.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so bring out the Mutavault, you know, and that, then yeah, everything
just,
gets that.
Oh yeah, Mutavault.
Just the most played Mutavault, card in standard right now.
Right. And then besides that, the Fellhide Spirit Binder that, we get to pay two and bring out a copy token of something on the battlefield. You get that and you bring out like Fanatic Amogus and you can bring out again and,
nice.
You know, so it's been pretty good. Of course, you got, I'm totally blinking right now. You gotta edit this out right now.
No, I'm not editing.
There is no editing.
You're gonna be,
what the hell is the Minotaur Shaman? The three red, three white.
From
Gate Crash?
Yeah, Boros Reckoner.
Boros Reckoner. Damn, what's wrong?
Did you take him out?
Yeah, isn't that sad? No, I have four of those. No, hell yeah, you got four.
You gotta play Boros Reckoner.
I'm saying it's a staple, so that's,
you're playing red or white, you're playing Boros Reckoner.
That's probably,
and I'm playing red black, but I,
do you think there's room for a Mogus in there, or it's just enough?
I have one Mogus, and I have one Purphoros.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have a lot of spots where, like, fighting for... Because I know a lot of the Minotaurs were, like, what, four mana. Yeah. There's a ton in that kind of range.
There's not twos. There's threes and fours
for days. Okay.
One of the guys brought out a two-mana Minotaur.
Right. Okay. And now there's two-mana Minotaurs, I believe, and they're both okay.
They're just commons, though, right?
Are you playing all Minotaurs? Or are you trying to stick? Are you trying to stick like just strictly Minotaurs? You're not gonna like splat, like, you know, bring in some other, like, you know?
No, I have
like Desecration Demon.
See, exactly. I have some extra stuff that I threw in there. Like I threw in the 4-mana red black dragon that is it's a 6/6 flyer, but you can only cast it if you dealt combat damage or damage in general to an opponent.
And then each spell you cast costs
less, yeah, for how much damage you do that
you
turn.
Didn't like that?
And it just doesn't hit every time. I have it in my hand and I can't get it on the board every time. Because you have to be able to either hit, which that would be great, but otherwise I'm kinda like, you might want to use a burn spell and that means you need like 6 mana or something like that to cast in one turn. It's just not been reliable, even though it is, I think, a bomb if it comes out. And you guys kill it pretty much right away anyway, so, you know, what are you going to do?
In a deck like that, I think it's more focused a little bit more towards aggro, and you don't really have the leisure time to set that up, play it, and then get your value out of it, you know what I mean?
Yep. So, I have one hammer in there just because, actually because the second thing, I get haste from some of the other stuff, haste and trample, like they're already built into the Minotaur.
Now, there's two hammer cards now.
Perfect. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, hammer of the Purphoros and Fall of the Hammer.
Fall of the Hammer is actually...
I'm not playing Fall. It's not powerful enough to throw Fall in there. I'd rather use something reliable.
Do you have removal in there?
I do have four of the Dreadbores.
I'm sure you have Lightning Strikes.
I have Lightning Strikes. I have Magma Jets. I have two of each of those. And...
What do you think?
And I have the Rakdos Return.
Okay.
And that's pretty much my set.
How many Rakdos do you have?
I have two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of replacing your Magma Jets for the new Searing Blood?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, except that I like the Scry. But I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm going to try to play both. I'm going to take those two out, and I'm going to throw these two in, and see what happens. What do you think?
I like the Scry. So I would like the Scry, but I think I've been hearing a lot of people talk about the Magma Jet effect from Theros, meaning that, like, a lot of the times people just ended up playing the card just for the Scry. You know, at the point, like, a lot of times the two damage wasn't really relevant to do anything. They mostly just play, okay, I'm just going to burn you at your end step just so I can set up my next draws.
Just hit two on the player and then...
Yeah, so I can set up my draws. So, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of an iffy spot. If there was another 3-damage, you know, burn type spell, you could probably throw in there. I'd probably do that instead.
How many are you running in the deck?
What's that?
Magma Jets.
I run two.
Okay.
Two, Lightning Strikes, right? Is that what the one?
Yeah, Lightning Strikes. Mm-hmm.
The 2 mana, 3 on a
even
the Searing Spear.
If you're using
if
you're using the Magma Jet, if you find yourself using the Magma Jet more for the Scry, I would probably take the Magma Jets out for like Greet the Bones.
That's fair. I've always been able to use it. There's always been a 2 toughness. There's 2 toughness, a lot of stuff.
Or even post combat.
And post combat, yeah, if you just need something.
A little extra oomph.
The last kind of thing in this, I have Door Destinies, of course. Door Destinies is just the best, man. I love that.
Yeah.
Like, if anything that comes in, you know what I mean? Like, even with the Inspired effect on the Fellhide, it brings it in the battlefield.
Ooh.
There's another Minotaur. Boom. It works great. Nice. I did use it with, like, what is it? It's a 5 mana black card where you sacrifice one of your permanents on one of your creatures on the board, and then you get to bring it back.
In
your graveyard, you bring back one in the graveyard and that card next time. That would trigger two Door Destiny effects.
Yeah, Return to the Underworld.
Yeah. It was pretty cool effect, but I took it out for now. That's pretty much it for that. Otherwise, I have...
What'd you do to your, Evolve deck?
I don't have that anymore. Now I have...
You took out Evolve?
Chromanticore deck.
Chromanticore!
Yeah, I know. So it's a green, it's basically mono green, except that I do have, Simic Charms in there for, like, the Hexproof effect.
How
basically,
could you say mono green and then play Chromanticore? Well, right?
Mono green, for the ramp, it's all green, cause you got the Caryatids.
Yeah, there's fixtures.
I
have Coursers in here, I have, what are these, the Unravel, the Aether?
Aether.
Yeah,
so Nylia's Presence.
Nylia's Presence, awesome. Yeah. 3 lanterns.
Dim lanterns.
What is that?
Karametra's Favor.
Yeah.
That one's good. And I also threw in the Master Biomancer because that's just a great card. I don't know. Is it gonna fit? I don't know. Maybe it won't stay. We'll figure it out. And then I threw in Witchstalkers hoping that I could
bestow it.
That's basically why I threw it in.
Nice.
So,
Hexproof. What's that?
Hexproof.
Yeah.
I love Hexproof.
Exactly. So you get that, Garrick. Nylia, God of the Hunt.
There's a lot of sweepers, though. I mean, what's the Anger of the Gods?
Anger of the Gods.
I think a lot of more people are running Anger of the Gods now.
I sold all 4 of them. I just gave them up.
Anger of the Gods is actually going to go up in price a lot because...
I think it's playing Modern, right?
Uh-oh.
almost every deck in Modern that was playing Red had Anger of the Gods.
Yeah.
Such a good sweeper.
Every deck had at least main board or sideboard. It was in their 75 there at all times.
Well,
the next deck I want to do a burn deck. Like that seems so cool.
Red
like
Boros burn.
No, like yellow Boros burn. Like red white burn. You know, for like Warlords Helix. Like even like a Spark Trooper or something. Just like to get some game, like
you
some life.
Boros Charm.
The new red Charms, retribution. Yeah. I think it was the one I started playing in my American.
And then that
deck.
New red creature that you, if you. Do, I think what's that, if you do damage.
If an instant sorcery does damage to target player.
Yeah, you can redirect.
Do that damage to a
creature. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And then, you know, have young Jeezy.
Oh, young
Pyromancer.
So good.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's fucking really still good. And then, what's the flying, Chandra's Phoenix.
Yeah.
What about
the Wraith or whatever
what about the new one? The one with the, tribute.
Oh, the tribute one? Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't cast back from the burns, which is like his whole thing. Which it does come back.
It's cool.
But it's nice. The Chandra's Phoenix, I think, is way better for that deck.
Yeah, I think for a burn.
It has haste, regardless.
And it comes back because you're going to be burning
it's haste.
Up and down.
Like, the new Phoenix is just like a bigger version, but you don't get any of the upside.
It's the retarded older brother?
Pretty much.
What about that,
pretty much.
What about the double red, the 2/2 with first strike, the one that's from Ravnica, I believe? It's all in all the red decks, basically. The Ash Cell.
Oh, Ash Cell, yeah. Like, that seems like an aggro burn. Like, you definitely play that if you're like
Yeah, it just doubles it up, man. That's so sick.
Yeah. I like Ash Cell. That's more of like an aggro.
You're not gonna play it probably.
I don't know if I play them on a burn, but, yeah, I mean, you can help
burn, though.
To get some creatures.
What I was really expecting out of one of the guides is, since we saw a lot of...
Oh, you're thinking of what's the... It's not Ash Cell. Ash Cell, it's the...
No, I'm thinking of Ash Cell, for sure.
The 2/2 first strike.
2/2 first strike that gives it hits the
double red.
Every time you cast an instant or sorcery that damages an opponent, it does 3 more damage to that. To a creature or to...
What? That's not Ash Zealot.
No, that's something else.
That's not it?
Nah.
There's, what's Ash Zealot? Ash Zealot.
It's a 2/2 first strike
obnoxious.
With haste.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
2/2 first strike with
haste. There's another card that... I know what you're talking about. I just can't think of the name, but yeah. There's what's the other one? The Gutter Snipe?
Gutter Snipe.
Oh, it's when you cast something from your graveyard. it does 3 damage to the player.
Yeah.
That's Ash Zealot. My bad. So that's the one that for the Phoenixes, when they come back out, which they will, and then you get to do 3 damage each time.
But you're not casting it from your graveyard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you return it to your hand from the graveyard.
Oh, is that?
That was.
Oh, see,
the Ash Zealot was.
Yeah, there's some good cards out there.
Amateur hour.
But yeah, I mean, I think Burn's pretty cool.
What I was really hoping to see with Born of the Gods or Red, since we saw a cycle of devotion spells. You know, in Theros we got devotion permanents, which works really well with each other because devotion's looking for the color symbols in your permanents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the black ones, you know, you draw cards and lose X life based on your devotion. What I was really hoping to see is, like a instant spell that burned the opponent
for how much devotion
to red.
We might see that in return, like the Nyx.
Nyx, maybe. I think if that card comes out, you can actually do like an aggro devotion deck.
I think they're just gonna reprint Lightning Bolt and then it's gonna be bolts everywhere. 4 damage for one.
Yeah,
for
they're
one
not reprinting that much power. That's too powerful.
That's what I hope to see.
Boros Charm is ridiculous enough.
I know, right?
No, Boros Charm is perfectly costed because like you can't, it goes to the face. You know, Lightning Bolt is 3 damage for 1 mana. That's too powerful.
I hate Boros Charm.
Boros Charm's like the most flexible shit, you know. Indestructible,
double strike,
nah.
And the 4 to the face. I mean, I think it's great. I do have it in my Minotaur deck too. I didn't mention that, but that's in there. Mostly for the indestructibility.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, indestructibility.
But that 4 to the face, dude, like, if you set up turn 1, 1 drop, turn 2, 2 drop, turn 3 drop, and then on turn 4 you're doing like, you know, 10 to 12 damage, you know, if you have the right creatures and everything stays on the board with Boros Charm. Just like my girlfriend's deck, like
Boros aggro, yeah.
Turn 1, fucking, yeah, it's the one that can't attack. It's the flyer that can't attack unless there's like a knight on the battlefield or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the fuck that thing is. It's like not even like a good deck, but you know, kitchen table wise, it burns the shit out of us. Just turn two, there's a battalion guy, and then turn 3, it's that haste flyer. Mm-hmm. So she's hitting battalion, and the next turn, oh yeah, double fucking Boros Charm to your face. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude, let's just say if, Snapcaster Mage was still legal, I'd play a deck with 4 Snapcaster Mages, and, 4 Boros Charms. And then the rest lands. That's all I do.
So, nice. Have you done any brews, Justin? I mean, a quickness?
Yeah, I kind of have this, like, white weenie enchantment deck I've been toying around with. Eidolon of Countless Battles, the Holy Mental, and the other white enchantment, which I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But just toy with that, because I think, I don't want to count battles. It's such a good card, especially when there's so many enchantments going around. So, like, around the Holy Mantle and Ethereal Armor. So, like, the Ethereal Armor gets +1/+1 for each enchantment, which I don't want to count battles already does.
Yeah.
And this gives it first strike. And then the Holy Mantle, which comes in at 4 mana, but it gives it +2/+2 in protection for creatures. So, like, even if I was facing another, like, a white weenie deck, like, they couldn't banish your priest, anything that had Holy Mantle on, because it's a triggered ability from a creature. Mm. It has protection for creatures.
That's nice.
So I was just thinking of a way, like, putting that together, putting a bunch of, like, enchantments and combat tricks, like, God's Willing, Brave the Elements, because it's a base white deck, so it's really good. And I'm just thinking of ways of, like, the main problems I see are Supreme Verdict and Devour Flesh, which are really going to hurt me. Because everything else, I have protection for creatures and I Brave the Elements, so I can push through damage, things like that. It's just protecting the one creature I'm going to suit up, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think it's either going to have to be a red splash or a green splash to achieve that. I'm leaning more towards red, just for the Boros Charm, for the indestructibility. Really, I don't really want to take up another slot for Trollhide and have to pay mana on top of it to regenerate it from like a Supreme Verdict or something like that. But I mean, I played a deck similar like that on MTGO against my mono black deck, and like if I didn't have a removal spell in my hand at all times. Like, he could sneak in, like, you know, 10 damage just out of nowhere. And like, I just think something like that's really good. So, I'm going to be trying to make that a little better and see how it does. I think it'd do well. I think I need some more flyers in the deck. That could be another possible issue. But other than that, I think it's gonna catch a lot of people off guard, and they're really going to have to race it. If they can't race it, then they can't compete.
Yeah, as for my, like, brewing-wise, like I said, I haven't really brewed, and the two main decks that I have is the Dimir Mill Control, which nothing that really came out in Born of the Gods makes me want to add anything to the deck. And then my other deck is like a mid-range Golgari type of deck. And, I mean, I'm still kind of fucking around with it, but once again, nothing that came out in Born of the Gods is really like triggering my eye to add to it. I'm adding and substituting Theros cards mostly.
The new, blue counterspell might be good
for your deck. Aura or creature?
Aura or creature. Mm-hmm. Especially when you play like my control deck.
Yeah.
You can counter a D-Sphere or a Sunbolt Legion.
That would be good for a sideboard. Like definitely a good sideboard card. Yeah, like, Nullify. No main deck adding, like, definitely there's some cards that came out that would probably make the sideboards for sure. But nothing main deck that I actually want to add.
I still think you should trade out those four Essence Scatters and kind of diversify your little counter package.
But diversify my bones!
There you go. Yeah, I haven't been doing too much. I've been just playing with my RG deck. Just kind of, I added the, you know, the Xenagod and some Coursers. I got the Fanatic Xenagos. I was trying to think about playing those, but I think it's more for like a red-green aggro kind of shell. So, but I feel like
it's there, right?
It's there. It's coming together. I'm just gonna start crying when the Domri leaves, though. That's like kind of like it's like Domri and Friends. That's the deck. That's all it
Welcome
is.
Welcome to Domri and Friends.
I mean the red green deck. If you don't have Domri, it's like it's not a deck anymore. It's just the whole thing just falls flat
like
on its face.
The linchpin of the deck. Yeah, like, you pretty can't much. Have red green without Domri.
Yeah, for right now. I mean, about like who knows what next set might bring. Never mind.
I would say maybe like a Garrick could be like a little something, but that's going out too. That's M14.
Yeah, so we'll see how that means. I'm enjoying the red green right now. I feel it's kind of getting up there, so I'm down with that. But I haven't really tried any like off the wall brews or anything like that. I really haven't had too much time to be playing with Theros and Born of the Gods. Just kind of been cherry picking the good cards for my standard deck, but that's about it.
I wanted to mention just the other two, but without going through them. But I have something similar to Justin's where it's a blue white. Like a heroic cipher deck. So it's just got a lot of enchantments, a lot of targeting my creatures, and I have like the Triton Fortune Hunter and the Fabled Hero and Aqueous Form and all kinds of stuff like that. I saw it online. I didn't know for anyone that's new like us, I had no idea that cipher triggers heroic. So when I learned that, I'm like, oh my god, I can like heroic things, you know, twice a turn and all this stuff. And so I built that up. It's definitely not there, but the triggers definitely happen. It's still just that it doesn't build up to anything that my opponent can't deal with, you know. It turns into, I can hit you for like four and draw a couple cards and that's pretty much it, you know. It hasn't been too great. That, and then I have a Festering Newt deck that I've had for a while, but I revised it. And, it's basically just bringing out creatures and, sacrificing them to do other effects. I put, Gift of Immortality on them and make them come back, and I use Orzhov Charm to bring them back or kill them and, take one. Grim Return, and then also, what am I looking at here? The High Priest of the Penance or whatever. So I get to use that. I can go ahead and gift him, then I can kill him, or he can get killed by one of your guys, and then I get to destroy an online permanent. So it's basically that. I just want my guys to come on the board and keep cycling out, you know, keep coming onto the battlefield and triggering effects and all that stuff.
Yeah, pretty much you want to abuse the enter of the battlefield or leave the battlefield effects pretty
right.
much. Yeah.
Big time, big time. And I play like one whip and one of the black god, one sanguine bond. Just to see how it works. I might take those things out if they're not really working, but that's it.
You guys been watching the Pro Tour at all? I know I've been watching that work on Twitch.
I've been watching it. I watched it since it like started at 12 o'clock on like Friday.
Oh, God.
I watched like at midnight and I've just been watching it all
Yeah, I like actually watching this Pro Tour because it's a modern season right now, I think.
Yeah.
So this Pro Tour, what, I think it's in like Italy or something like that.
It's in Valencia, Spain.
Or in Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool because I've been watching it and I didn't really know anything from modern. And now I'm kind of getting more familiar with the modern meta that's out there now.
Oh, like, we got a lot to learn though.
God, there's so many cards. Like there's this plan. Like I've been looking up like cards on the Gatherer, yeah. The Magic Gatherer, and it's just like just learning all these cards is so cool. But like there's are a few like decks out there that are just like.
What does it even mean when it says like modern season is starting? Does that mean like that the format of the Pro Tours coming up are going to be modern?
Like yeah, like right now
the Pro Tours like cycle through.
Because like people, I keep hearing people say like, "Oh, modern season's starting," and I'm like
"It's modern. It's always here."
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, "Well, what the fuck does that mean?"
Modern, Modern Masters is gonna come out again. So that's only like a limited run, pretty much. I mean, you can buy the packs, but like, I think they're coming out with the Modern Masters 2.
We need to go in on a box together so we can draft. Because I heard that's like super. I heard that's super super fun. Everyone says it's like
only if they reprinted Fetchlands, yeah. I'll go in a box.
Modern Master, like Modern, like is starting to become more and more my favorite format. Like you know, Modern. When you talk about Modern, you're talking about 8th edition, Born of the Gods. So like,
it seems like a lot of Zendikar like are in like
a lot of Zendikar because you have Zendikar. I think was the block that had Rise of the Eldrazi. In it,
what?
So you have like Emrakul, like the 1515,
Come on.
You have all the fetch lands in there, which is essential. Like if you don't have a fetch, if you're
They're
playing
so
a deck without fetch lands, you're playing an inefficient deck, and it's not going to win pretty much.
What do you guys feel about Proxy?
Proxy, I mean, I think we should do Proxy for us. I mean, if we want to get into Modern or something like that, yeah. I feel like Proxy would probably be good. But I mean, I don't want to go too much into Proxy because I like having the cards, but they're just so expensive for Modern. Like,
for people who don't know what Proxy is, what it's Proxy?
Proxy is where you pretty much just...
So I find the card online, I print the card front, and then I take a land, and I cut the card front, I print it out, and I paste that onto a land, and I throw it into a...
So it's just like, it's not, you don't actually own the actual card, it's just you're playing... You know,
yeah.
Or you get an ace of spades and you get a sharpie
and you write on it.
Yeah, just take your time.
Yeah.
And numbers are real small. They have sharpie pens now. You know, with a finer point.
Yeah, you take a sharpie and you fucking just write like Tormagoif on it, and then you got $200 card right there. So
sweet.
Yeah, so, then you sell it.
Yeah, then you sell it on you know eBay or whatever. City. It's like, yeah, you know.
But no, I got 100 of these things. I got 52. I got 52.
And they're foil. It's just like glitter.
It's got like the glitter glue on there.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's nice. Yeah, if we start getting to modern, I wouldn't mind playing with proxies.
I think
it's so expensive.
I think I'm gonna make all my planeswalkers, like the San Diego Comic-Con ones, and I'm just gonna paint them all black. I'm gonna paint them all black, and I'm gonna try to offload them like that. Like, yeah. I almost, $40 a piece, no big deal, yeah. Right? Super cheap.
Oh yeah, totally.
That'll work, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
But yeah, this is cool watching this Pro Tour, like just seeing all the different modern decks. Like, I wanna get into it, cause I mean, modern just stays. You have the ban list and stuff like that, cause Death Heart Shaman just got banned, but I think it helped the format from what I see. Like now you see like a lot more stuff other than just everyone playing, you know, Graveyard Hate and Deathrite Shaman.
And like the thing is, I think if like you're trying to get into a format and you don't want to spend like a lot of money, I think some of the eternal formats like Modern or Legacy and things like that, I think they're really the way to go because the cards don't rotate out. If you're standard, you can drop like $200-$300 on a tier one deck. In a year or two, you can't play with those cards in that format anymore.
Yeah, unless like, it's, you know, something that you can go into modern, but...
You might be spending, like, $120 on a set of Misty Rainforest, which are the fetch lands. But those Misty Rainforest go in every single deck.
Yeah.
Every single deck. So you have four of those, you have a staple, you're good to go, you spent the $120 once, and then you never have to worry about
your main
picks.
I think the big thing for me is it's just that upfront cost. Like, we're standard, like, okay, we're dropping like, you know, maybe like $40 to maintain our deck, like every time a new set comes out, you know, depending on how good the cards and what you're playing. And it does rotate out, and you do have to buy a new deck, but it's not like a one-time fee. You're just like dropping like $2,000 on a deck, just or like you know you're not paying like $600 for just a mana base.
Yeah.
But I mean that'll last you forever. It's true. Like in the long run, like say if we start playing, you know, if we play from like 10 years from now, like if we you know stay up with Modern every season or every you know rotation, like yeah, we're gonna be spending probably like three times, maybe you know two times as much if that we want to you know stay with the tier one decks. But Modern, you just pretty much pay that upfront price, and you know. just hope your stuff doesn't get banned, but I mean.
And you can play all these cards, this just came out in Modern as well. You're not restricted, you can't play the newest set. You can incorporate cards from the newest set into your Modern decks, and you can create a lot of brews. Like, a deck that came in the top 8 of the Pro Tour was a homebrew somebody made. Somebody brought it in there. Like, it's kind of one of those things where you catch a lot of people unaware. They're not really expecting it. But, like, it has that ability that you can brew something, bring it in, and still be competitive for that tournament.
I think it's nice that we started in Standard. You know, we didn't try to branch off too far. We stuck with the Gatecrash and the Dragon's Maze and everything. We're following it up. If we, you know, which we will, we'll stick with this, and then now we're going to have a Modern set, you know, built. We're going to, along with keep our cards and don't try to offload everything at the end of rotation, we can go 3 or 4 years, and we're going to have all this sweet shit.
That's exactly what... We might have been listening to the same podcast, but that's what this one guy was talking about, that like, you know, if you don't have a Modern deck, just play Standard for 5 years and you'll end up with a Modern deck.
Eventually, get to it.
How far does Modern go back?
Eighth edition. Like, so you might not have like a tier one Modern deck.
Super competitive. You're not playing like, Pro Tour with it.
They're not going to print a card such as Path to Exile and Standard.
I'm not saying you're going to end up with all the same cards that are in the Modern decks now. But the point he was trying to make is that if you play Standard and you build your collection, you're going to have a shitload of cards that are eligible for Modern. You know, not that they're going to print Tarmogoyf anytime
soon. Oh, God, if they did, I would play Zoom.
But keep the gods. You know, the gods are going to be for a long, long time, I'm
just
sure.
Keep something everything, like really, you know?
Everything, really, yeah.
You're already seeing some...
Shocklands. Shocklands a big thing.
Scrylands is going to be great.
I just recently, I already told you guys earlier, I spent over $100... getting a bunch of Shocklands and all the Scrylands.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to play the Scrylands in Modern or Legacy, but you know, they're definitely going to be good. Just for the fact they come in tapped.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about four.
Modern and Legacy, they're like turn 4, turn 5 formats.
Does any of that stuff play like Guildgates, though? Because that'll replace Guildgate in there.
The
different other lands, like the lands where you can tap some extra mana, put charge counter on them, and you take them off. You know, a lot of lands like that, lands...
Like the ones that we play in Commander.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of those.
But I figured that would be that, but you would never... To replace even just your basic lands with Scrys or...
I don't think that's the thing. Like, it's important to have at least 5 basic lands in your deck.
Okay.
Because they play a card with Path to Exile. It's 1 white. You exile a target creature.
You bring out a basic land.
The creature's controller gets to search for a basic land and bring it out. You don't want to be caught in a situation where you can pull out a land and you can't bring a land out just because every land drop matters. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't miss a land drop. Like I said, it's a turn 4, turn 5 format. You have these fetch lands and, you know, some of these decks are running 2, maybe 1 of each shock, and they're looking for a fetch land to get that shock because they're looking to sculpt their mana base just exactly how they need it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking for any excess.
Makes sense.
You know, that's all I need. So that's why I'm saying, like, a lot of the tap lands aren't really used because it's too slow. They're really good because the Scry is awesome, and I think the Scry is really good in Modern. You can see it in different cards, like Serum Visions. It's a 1 blue. You draw a card, you Scry 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of good draw card, Scry, whatever, in the Modern format, right? It's just, I think tying it to a land is too slow.
Is Ponder, what's that? Is that Scry?
Ponder,
you draw 3 and then...
Ponder, you look at the top 3.
Okay.
You can arrange them any way you want, you put them back in your library, you draw, and then you can shuffle if you want, at that point.
So you shuffle
them
back in.
You can shuffle, and then you draw a card.
Okay.
So, like, things like that, and you pair them with the fetch lands, so, like, you know, upon you can put the 3 on top, you don't like any of them, you can fetch your land, shuffle your library, and then draw a completely new card.
What is fetch lands for people who don't know?
Fetch land, it's a land, it's like a dual color land, it comes in, you pay a life, you tap it, you sack it, and then you can search for a land two colors.
Well, the fetch land comes in, it's not actually a land when it comes in.
You cannot tap that land for
mana.
It's
a placeholder card. Like, so, like, say I play this fetch land, what is, like, Misty Rainforest,
which is blue and green.
So it says that you can sacrifice Misty Rainforest and pay 1 life, and then search your library for a forest or a swamp, or an island. And then, so at that point, you could look for, like, say you wanted a forest from it, so you would take, you know, either one of the Shocklands, which is still technically
a
forest.
A breeding pool.
And then you don't, you know, you find that forest and you play it it comes in untapped. So you're pretty much just getting a mana from that. But you're filtering.
Well, you still have to pay the, if you want to have a shotgun come
in. Well, yeah, if it's a shotgun, you still have to pay 2 life.
2 life to get the land you need untapped.
Yeah. If it's not a basic.
Yeah, but like I was saying, like every deck runs fetch lands, so it's not really like a hindrance at all. It's not like one deck gets, you know, that much better because they're not shocking themselves for eight damage just to get their mana base online.
Yeah, it's just really the price of admission for the fetch lands. I feel like, because Wizards, I feel like they're, Wizards of the Coast, the people that do make Magic, I feel like they're trying to push Modern now, like more so. Just kind of the coverage and, well, at least for a newbie coming into the game only the past year, I feel like they're kind of trying to get people more into Modern, because the Standard's like a really big format, because everyone, you know, a lot of people like Standard.
Isn't Modern just the poor man's Legacy?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, like, if you're not like...
Wasn't the format created because, like, Legacy was hard to get into?
It was a cheaper starting point than Legacy.
Yeah.
And there was too many good cards, like Legacy, like, you know, like, Black Lotus, like, those cards that, like, are crazy expensive, and there's just so many good cards that were just breaking the game, kind of, essentially.
Equipment, like, Umezawa's Gente. Yeah. Like, it's an equipment, and whenever you attack, you put 2 charge counters on it. You remove a charge counter, you can give a creature a -1/-1. You can give your creature +2/+2.
Or you can win the game.
Or you can gain 2 mana. Pretty much. It's one of those things. So, like, it's just one card that can just overrun the board.
Yeah. Right.
And those are the power level cards you're playing in those types of formats.
I think they brought out because just people can't get the cards because it was just, it's so old, and then just for the power level of it, it was just too crazy. Like, just the way that things interact with each other. I mean, they had to have, like, that's why Modern came out and they had, like, a ban list, so, like, certain cards. Like, if it's totally breaking the format, or just totally breaking the game, it's like they're gonna ban that card, just the way it works.
Like, Stoneforge Mystic is a Legacy playable card. It's a 1 and a white for a 2/1. And when it enters the battlefield, you get to search for an equipment card, put in your hand. You pay like 3 or 4, and then you get to actually equip the equipment onto Stoneforge Mystic. But it's just, in a Modern format, it's just way too powerful when you can have like Sword of Ice and Fire, things like that. That's why they keep it the Legacy, so that the overall power level on the top end is more, it's more of a flat line rather than you get the spikes in Modern.
Where right,
it's
right.
Like, all of a sudden people are like winning the game in one turn, so like they're just going off in one turn and winning the game. You have to be like really prepared and you have to think ahead, you know, a lot.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that Wizards like really pushes it. I mean, I know that there's, you know, like the reserve list, which are cards that will never be reprinted just cause they, you know what, people for the collectors and stuff. Cause otherwise if they reprinted everything, like collectors wouldn't want to collect the card, everything would lose value and stuff like that.
Yeah, it sucked to pay like $3,000 for then, Black Lotus and
exactly.
Then reprint it and they're selling it for like $100.
But like I really do hope, I do think strongly that Wizards will eventually reprint, fetch lands just to get people into Modern. Cause I think probably not this block or the next block just cause, you know, shock lands are out there. And, you know, just the mana base is, like, it's really flexible right now. Because if they reprinted, like, fetch lands, I think that just, you'd see, like, 5-color decks, 4-color decks. Just, like,
Romanticore for the win.
Romanticore, finally.
Are going to reprint fetch lands. It's just a matter of
yeah,
when.
So when they do print it, I think that's probably, I'll get into Modern.
You know, you look at the shock lands. They had the ones in Ravnica, you know, they had the shock lands there. And then we returned to Ravnica, and now we get the shock lands again.
Yeah.
So. And, like, the shock lands and the fetch lands, those two cards are essential to the Modern format.
It's like the bread and butter. It's like if you don't have shock lands and fetch lands, you don't really have
a Modern
deck.
You can't cast your spells on time. You can't cast your spells on time.
Before rotation, I want to have at least a play set of all the shock lands.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I have a play set of three or four, and I want to like get the rest before. Because after rotation, they're just going to fucking go up in price.
Like the only format the shock lands aren't good in Legacy. Because they have true dual lands that you don't have to shock yourself. They come in untapped and they provide both mans.
Yeah.
So.
What for, I mean, so, a Quickness and Reich are interested in Modern. What other format besides Standard are you interested in, Hot Sauce?
Can't really say. I mean, Commander. Of course,
Commander. Commander sounds like, yeah.
Seems like a lot of fun. I think that there's just a lot of flexibility there. And instead of just, it just limits you from running four or something, so you have to just think about, the grand scheme, you know, more. You just have to have, I don't even know, like, what, 50 fucking creatures in a deck like that or something like that, you know?
Sounds
great. I like the tribal theme. And then, you know, we get to play all those weird lands. I don't know if I want to pay the money for them, but yeah. I think that so far just what came in the Commander deck,
because we all got,
it's pretty fun.
We all got the Commander 2013.
Right.
We all got a different deck, and we're not modding them at all. We're not changing any cards out. We're just playing them as is. So, you know, one of us doesn't go crazy and spend $100 and then like,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden it's an unfair deck, you know? So we're having a lot of fun with that. And, you know, I think, you know, especially me and Sauce, we both like the tribal thing. That's why he has a Minotaur standard deck, you know, and I am definitely starting to build a fucking I had a rat deck.
The rat was cool.
Dude, the rats were awesome. I miss them so much.
My hand was empty. That's awesome.
Discard rats. And then, yeah, I just got my, commander, Grimgrin, for the zombie deck.
Grimgrin.
But yeah, we've already played some Commander and we like it, but other than that, I mean, does any other format, like Popper seems kind of cool.
See, I'm not familiar enough with Popper and Cube. I know on paper what it is, but I don't know what you're looking for when you build it.
Exactly.
We talked about it a little bit, but it's something that we're going to really have to go into to make me understand what can make it the best. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
I
can
put it together, but that's it. Popper is you're going to play Doubler of Secrets. That's all you're playing. I know. Yeah, it's a blue for a 1/1, and then you flip over on your draw step. You flip over the top card, and you can choose to reveal it. If it's an instant sorcery, you flip Delver's 3/2. Secrets. And
that's a 3/2 flyer.
A 3/1 or a 3/2 whatever.
Yeah,
flyer.
I played
yeah.
that thing. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, Sean's brother. Yeah, he plays it
exactly.
You know, you can play a lot of cards like that. You know,
dude, that card. I mean, luckily we had like answers for it, but I was like. Fuck you.
That
and
card
in your
sweet,
turn
huh?
two.
Yeah.
You're already past summoning sickness attacking for three in the air. Like, oh my god, dude. And then he had didn't he have the Snapcasters and then?
Yeah, he had Snapcaster Mages.
Dude, what did he have?
See, that's cool. I love Snapcaster Mages. You can play like four lightning.
Was it just like a random deck?
No, it was a blue Innistrad, that block based, red, blue.
Okay, so it was like, it was standard and then they stopped playing.
Exactly, it was standard. And it was
standard for then and then he just played you guys with it now.
It was a good matchup against what I was using. There was a couple things that like, I luckily had that was perfect against it. Like, I was playing mono green against him and because I had the bow, I can just hit him for two in the air for those things. Every turn he'd bring one out, I'm like, do it, flip that shit, you know? I'm gonna hit you. And then that and like my protection from blue stuff, which was nice. So we had good battles, but that deck's pretty cool, man. I was having a good time watching him play all those cards.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you guys done much like limited since Born of the Gods has come out? I mean, besides our little.
No, I haven't. I need to get on MTGO and actually do some more drafts. I drafted M14 like crazy, like when it first came out, and like I liked M14 a lot, and I did a few Theros, but I think I need to get back into it now that you know. Born of the Gods is out.
I got Theros boosters just sitting there. Yeah. I got like six that are just hanging out online, you know. Maybe I'll use them, maybe I won't. I have no idea.
I'm trying to stop drafting. I like drafting.
It's expensive, I'm not gonna lie,
it's
fun.
And if I'm gonna do this, I have this little project I'm trying to achieve right now. I'm actually starting to try to get a good base for a collection going. So I'm trying to buy out all the big staple lands, so like the fetch lands, the shock lands, the scry lands, and then I want to get all the like relevant planeswalkers. So I want to get like, you know, Gideon, like Jace the Mind Sculptor,
oh god,
like things like that. Just so like you know, I can have these. If a deck plays these cards, I have them, and then I only got to spend like. $40-$50, and then I have a whole nother deck that I can play, and then I can disassemble, use those cards again, you know, maybe spend like $30-$40 extra dollars, and make a whole nother deck.
Isn't Jace banned, the Mind Sculptor?
Yes. The Mind Sculptor is banned in Modern, but not in Legacy.
Legacy, okay.
So, I've been doing a lot of limited, just on Modo.
Yes, you have.
A lot.
How much money you burn? Like 10 grand already? What's going on here?
My girlfriend's in the other room. We do not talk about Modo money on here.
You could have had a Modern and a Legacy deck already.
See, I play more limited if I was good at it.
I could have had a new car, but, so I've done a couple sealeds and some drafts and, you know, I'm horrible at, like, remembering how I did with them or what cards I had. So I just went on Modo and tried to, like, look at my, what cards I had. So for my first sealed, it was a white-black with a splash of blue for, Metamai. It was a Theros, Born of the Gods pre-release. Mm-hmm. So it had the seeded pack, meaning you pick a color. So it has cards of that specific color. I picked black. And then it had two Born of the Gods and three Theros. And I want to say I 3-1'd that sealed draft. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had the promo black card was Eater of Hope, which he... Okay, we talked about him last episode, and I was like, ah, you know, whatever. He's kind of costed heavy and blah, blah, blah. He... You drop him, you win the game, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's a 6/4 with one black, sack a creature, regenerate him. Most decks can't fucking handle six fucking power in the air. Like, it's just ridiculous.
And if you can handle it once, you're just going to regen it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that... It was a perfect bomb. It was a great closer. I had Gary. I had one Gary.
Who's Gary?
Who's Gary? Oh,
yes. Gary guy?
Gary
He's a merchant, didn't you know?
Yeah.
He's a merchant from Asphodel.
The gray merchant of Asphodel.
Asphodel
awesome. Came out in Theros for anybody.
He's an asshole.
Anybody who's you know, playing along at home or
I got Fanatic Amogus. That's not as good.
Yeah.
I also had some Asphyxiates in the deck. Asphyxiate in the limited format, I was gonna make some sweet reference, but I'm not. So I just take them all I can get. You know, they're. Conditional removal, but it's removal nonetheless.
You only have to worry about
removal.
Removal
is always
creatures.
Removal, no matter how tongue stuff
you
be.
You only have to worry about hasty creatures, and even then, if they have a hasty creature, you have a blocker, and they want to block into it, then or attack into it, and you're good to go.
Exactly, and I also had Exorate.
The white one, yeah, the tapped one.
It's a 3-1 white sorcery, exile target tapped creature. So it's like I had Asphyxiate for. Untapped, and then I had...
Asphyxiate is destroy, or is it exile?
It's destroy. It's destroy. Yeah. And then, so this one is exile target.
This has a little more.
And they're both sorcery, so you do have...
They're both sorcery, so it is, you know, a little slow on the slow side. And then I also had Revoke Existence, which is...
It's just...
One and a white, exile target, artifact, or enchantment. And
actually,
fucking everything is enchantment.
That card's actually a reprint.
Yeah, that card is the shit, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, somebody has a foil. So yeah, that sealed went really well for me. I did another sealed, which I ended up winning, which is huge for me, because I come in, like, fucking... Second place more often than not when I play on Moto. A couple times I'll come in last, a couple times I'll actually win the thing. It was the most just ridiculous green-black fucking, seal pool. It was a pre-release, so it was, you know, Theros and Born of the Gods and Acceded. So,
did you get that Reaper of the Wild or whatever that one is?
No, I got Pelucranos.
Oh, jeez.
I had two Drown in Sorrows.
Nice.
I had a Keepsake Gorgon, Asphyxiate, a Guild, and Eater of Hope, as well as some other cards. But I just had answers for days. And my fucking creatures were bigger. I always had a fucking answer for something. And I just fucked that sealed up. I played against a guy who had Xenagos the God,
mm-hmm.
And I was just like fucking scared. I was like, as soon as it came on the board, I was like, fuck! Like, I just want to like quit right now. Like,
yeah.
Quit the whole tournament. Yeah. You know, not even just that match. Yeah, I just ran away from the computer screaming.
Can't click fast enough.
But, you know, I was able to keep him in check with things like, Necrobite and, just basically being able to control the board and, not letting those creatures get out of control. And actually, the guy who played it, I think we went 3 games, he pulled it every single time.
Wow.
Like, almost on curve every single time. And it was cool. We ended up talking afterwards or during the rest of the, tournament, and,
He just went out for a milkshake and stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, it's cute, and no,
push the meatball with your nose.
Yeah. But, we ended up talking, and, you know, he's like, oh, dude, most players on Moto are kind of like douchebags, you know, like, you know, if you try and talk to somebody on Moto most of the time, you know, they might talk to you, but most people just ignore you. Like, they might not ignore you, they might not even have their chat screen up, you know, but most people just don't want to fucking talk. This guy was cool to talk to, and he ended up, giving me for free, because he doesn't play on Moto, he just ended up giving me a foil Thoughtseize, because he's like, hey, I don't play online, I just like draft, you know, I don't play standard, so I have a bunch of these, here you go, just because you're so awesome. Sick. I'm like, that's sick. I was like, oh my god, I love you. And so I proposed to him. No, so shout out to Jay Dubsky for being an awesome person, and hopefully
you're listening.
Yeah, hopefully. I told him about the podcast, but you know, that was like a week ago, and it still wasn't uploaded.
YouTube channel. Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to you, and maybe we can draft with him on Twitch or something, or
yeah,
you know, once we get the technology going for being able to record the podcast on an actual computer. You know, maybe get.
We are recording
Give away our secrets.
On a computer? We're not using a potato? What?
It's a yak back.
Oh, yeah. A talk boy? Yeah. But, yeah, so that was cool. Actually, it gave me faith in the Magic community, because not hearing back from people on Twitter felt like, well, what the fuck? Like, you say out loud to the community, like, hey, here's my Twitter handle, you know, feel free to comment or blah, blah, blah. And, like, I comment in show notes, I comment on Twitter, nobody responds back, so I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. But it's just cool to have a little bit of faith restored in the community, you know, the Magic community. I also did, I did a white, black, blue sealed with, you know, obviously it was, Born of the Gods and Theros, and, oh my god, Ghost Blade Eidolon. Fucking love it. Ridiculous card. I had Ghost Blade Eidolon and, the Eidolon of Countless Battles. Yeah. Holy shit. I played like a dirtle fucking little crappy two drop or whatever, and then I put Ghostblade on it, and then, or no, I put Countless Battles on it, and then I put Ghostblade on that, and it's like auto win. It's just build your own fucking death machine.
Yeah, white is so good. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And
so good.
When you pair white black together, it's like they have all the best removal. And it was just.
And they kind of have the thing, like, they kind of want to, they're kind of bomby, and they kind of want to go long, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Grindy type.
I think I ended up misplaying on the fucking last game, so I, you know, went, 3-1.
Yeah.
But that was good. I did a couple drafts. So, you know, the cards that I didn't think were that good are, I'm finding out that are really good, like the Ghost Blade or Eidolon of Countless Battles, especially Eater of Hope. Holy shit, that's great. So then I got bored because I was just doing, I felt like I was drafting decks that I felt safe with.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to do red this time, you know? And so I ended up doing a black red. It was triple Born of the Gods draft, and I got, two Fall of the Hammers. I opened a Fellhide Spirit Binder. And then I got past a Fellhide Spirit Binder. Holy shit, those guys put in work. I had, what's the one that comes in and it either does 5 to your face or you put, counters on it, the Tribute?
Oh, the red one?
Yeah, the red one.
That's for 5, I think, right? You pay 5 or 6 or something like that. It's something leader, I think.
I forget, but
it's like a Gorgon. It has like, no. It's a Cycloptor. It's Cyclops something like that,
or something. Giant. Like that, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, oh,
something like that in the name or something.
I gouge.
Yeah, I gouge. I gouge.
But so I could with the Fellhide Spirit Binder, I could make a copy and bring them in. So when it came in, they would have to say, "Oh, do I want like a fucking." A 5/5 with haste, or do I want a 3/3 coming at me, and then I take 5 damage to the face, which was sweet, and I had some bolts of, Karanos or whatever. Those are pretty good and limited.
Yeah.
And Marsh Mist Titan, I really thought like, whatever, but almost every time I'm running a black deck and I have him, I can cast him on turn 5, like, more often than not, turn 5. And having a 4-5 in black on turn 5, that's fucking ridiculous, because black doesn't get big fatties like that all that often.
You love those big fatty
black I love them big fatties, yo. It only
counts your own graveyard, right?
No, it's on the battlefield. It's devotion. Marsh Mist Titan?
Yeah. Oh, it's devotion based?
Yeah, it's... So, it's 6 and a black for a 4-5, and it costs X less, where X is your devotion to black.
Sure, I thought it was graveyard.
Nope. I am positive. Marsh Mist Titan costs X less to cast, where X is your devotion to black. Okay. So,
are you sure you're not reading graveyard?
Hold on.
I'm pretty sure it says graveyard.
Let me see.
Look closer.
D-E-V-O-T-I-O. Yep, that's graveyard.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. That card, fucking great. I grab them whenever I can. And they go late as fuck, so you can pick them up easy.
Now, one thing to mention about that card, though, is when you can't do any, like, cool tricks like you could with Gary, whereas you cast it and then you, like, kill something in response to the trigger.
Right.
This, once you cast the card, you cannot kill any of their devotion permanents and make them pay more for it, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Once you cast it, the cost is locked in, and you cannot affect the cost after that.
It counts the devotion upon casting, not upon resolution. Awesome. So you can't, like, get screwed and have to pay more.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so that Cyclops creature, it was 4 and then 2 red. Yeah, it's Thunder Brute. Trample, Tribute 3. When Thunder Brute enters the battlefield, if Tribute wasn't paid, it gains haste until end of turn. Now, that's the other one. Wait a second. That's the other one. You're talking about the 5 damage one. Whoops.
Tribute, it wasn't paid.
Let's say I thought I had it in this.
Whoopsies.
I'm talking about the wrong one. Here it is.
There it is. That's it. Giant.
Ferragax. So it is a giant, not a Cyclops.
Yeah. I think it was a giant or Cyclops or something like that.
Yeah, it has Tribute 2. It's a 3/3 for 5. When it enters the battlefield, if Tribute wasn't paid, it deals 5 damage to each opponent. Which, I mean, that's...
Every time I've played it, my opponent took 5 every time.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you keep bringing it in with Fellhide Spirit, it's like, are you just going to keep taking 5 every turn?
Mm.
As well as me attacking you with other shit?
As long as they have a chump blocker, it's not really a good target for the Spirit Binder, but because you have to exile the copy at the end step.
Anyways, I mean, if that's your only attacker, then like, you know, but I had most of... Or during that specific game, I had a board to where I could be attacking with other shit.
Yeah.
And this was just a nuisance, you know? Fuck, am I gonna have to chump block? Or do I have something to kill it with? Or am I just gonna take 5?
The Spirit Binder is good because it makes trying to figure out how you're gonna block and how you're gonna play out the blocking step. It just makes it a hassle because you don't know, you know, they could just, you know, copy in something real quick with haste. And then you're gonna block one thing, and they copy another thing, and now you're screwed.
Yeah. I think the Spirit Binders, you know, I thought it was good, but actually playing with it, I'm very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's impact one, I would consider going red just for that card. But the other, like, I did another draft where I was black-blue, obviously, again. But the Nyxborn, little common guys, the blue one and the
bestow ones,
the vanilla bestow. So the blue one is the best one. It's a 2/3. It's right here. It's a 2/3 for 2 and a blue.
Literally is the best one.
Bestow is 4 and a blue. Chanted creature gets +2/+3. And then the black one is 2/1 for 1 and a black, and bestow is 4 and a black. So if I'm black-blue, I just pick up as many of these as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, so with control and then these guys, I'll just put Nyxborn Eidolon out there on turn 2. And then I just keep building up control, build up control. And they are awesome late game draws. Early game, you can play them actually on curve as creatures, or you can late game put them as auras. And I really like them, the black and blue one.
Bestow is like one of the best mechanics that Wizards put out recently, just because it's like you get 2 cards worth of value for 1 card slot.
Great.
And that's like hard to come by. It's really hard to get to that point. And I think that's just, it's awesome that you have the versatility to enchant something you already have. If they kill whatever you enchanted, it falls off. Now it's a creature that you can enchant again. So mm-hmm. it's like this endless Voltron that you can do. And I just think it's really good.
Yeah, it makes your late game crappy draws
it's
not
kind
so
of what
crappy.
What I thought Magic was really missing, where like previous Standard, it was a lot about enter the battlefield effects. Things come in, they give you something, and even if they don't want to attack or anything like that, you still got some value out of this. With the bestow, you're still getting value even if they kill whatever you're bestowing it on. Or, you know, yeah, it does have the added downside of an extra way of being able to kill the bestow stuff by being enchantment. But I think just the versatility clearly outweighs the added downside of being an enchantment.
Definitely. And the Fated Return, the fucker puts in work. It's 4 black, so 7, pretty heavily costed. It's an instant, put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It gains indestructible if it's your turn, scry 2. So more often than not, turn fucking 6, they play a huge guy.
Save your removal for that.
Yeah, save my removal for that. Or, you know, okay, so let's say turn 5. Turn 5 or turn 6, they play something fat, I remove it. Turn 6 or turn 7, obviously turn 7, because that's the casting cost.
You could have played a guild.
Yeah.
And on turn 6, you can...
Yeah, exactly.
Around there.
Yeah. So, but I bring out their fattest guy, and being a black-blue deck, you don't have huge guys, you know, you have control and you have some little ways of getting around stuff.
Your huge guys in black blue have a keyword called defender.
Yeah.
That doesn't really help you much.
But so I could, you know, in a couple games I used Fated Return to bring back something that I destroyed of theirs. And then it was like this, you know, 3/4, 5/5, fucking indestructible. Now they can't even attack profitably into me, and I just bought myself even more time to do what I need to do.
Oh, even like a 1/1 or a 2/2. You just have a blocker
that
can never be taken out, and the only thing you really have to worry about at that point is trample.
Yeah, and then you just start bestowing shit onto
them.
Yeah,
exactly.
I thought it was going to be too late, you know, too heavily costed to play. Maybe in Pharaoh.
It takes a while, though.
It needs the right deck.
It's turns, man. It's slow, so that's nice.
It needs the right deck to be good. But maybe, you can't just jam it in any deck that's blue or black. Or black, you know.
Maybe in, like, Theros, Born of the Gods, you know.
That's my
mom. You won't be able to
I'll jam that black 7 in anything, dude. That's,
That's funny. Your mom said that to me last night.
There's a lot of jokes on this.
Just 2 more cards I wanted to talk about, or 2 more. I actually pulled a Perplexing Chimera, and you have to use a lot of fucking brain power to fucking play that card. Oh my god, so it's right here. It's 4 and a blue for a 3/3. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may exchange control of Perplexing Chimera and that spell. If you do, you may choose new targets for that spell. Holy fuck, you have to okay, with Magic, you kind of already have to do the whole chess thing where you think, like a couple turns ahead. Like, this just adds a whole nother, like, mind fuck scenario, like, in your head while you're just trying to fucking play Magic.
As the listeners are finding out, I can't use this card. as the episodes go on, you just know that Hot Sauce can never use a card like this. Even the Vortex is already a little past what I'm used to, you know?
I actually saw a match in the draft portion of the Pro Tour. A guy played a Perplexing Chimera, whatever the fuck it is. This dude had it. He was winning. This dude had a Ray of Dissolution, the one destroy enchantment, you gain life. He tried to Ray the Perplexing Chimera, and the dude just swapped it, and then he destroyed it, and he gained the life. Which the other guy was looking to gain the life, because if he would have gained that 3 life, he would have gotten another turn, and possibly could have turned the corner. But just having that on the battlefield, and just trying to do cute little things like that, and just, nope, not gonna happen.
I believe they call that a case of not reading the card.
Well, I mean, if you're at that point, you have to do something.
Yeah, yes.
I do have that itis, though, not reading cards properly. And that was, Oracle's Insight, which for Oracle's Insight, where the fuck are you?
One of the cards that I was really excited about.
I am really excited. I got to play it. during our actual paper draft and some drafts I play online. It's 3 and a blue, enchantment aura, enchant creature. Enchanted creature has tap, scry one, then draw a card.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Isn't that sick?
You put this on a fucking inspired guy.
Painseer.
Yeah, just you put this on anything inspired that is weak and can't get through. Boom, you're fucking golden.
Get the follower. You know, or, no, I don't know. All the stuff to tap and untap it, you know, multiple times.
Yeah.
Would be sick.
But, that card is really good, I think.
I'm looking to pair that guy up with Painseer and just drawing tons of cards.
What was good was for, I ended up putting it on the 1/3 black guy, when he untaps. Opponent loses a life and I gain a life.
Gain a life, yeah.
So I scry one, draw a card, and then when he untaps,
gain a life.
I gain life, you lose a life. So it's just, cause that guy's fragile as fuck, you know? I don't want to be throwing him in there.
Pair that
game
with maybe like, Scholar of Astros. And then you,
which one's that?
The one in Theros, the like 1/3 or something like that, you pay, a black and two, and you pretty much do the same thing. Drain a life, gain a life.
Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah.
And that's like your game plan right there, pretty much in black-white.
Oh, it's the Servant of Timurid?
Timurid.
So it's a 2 and a black. It's a 1/3 black zombie creature. Inspired, whenever this guy becomes untapped, each opponent loses one life. You gain life equal to the life lost this way. 2 and a black, regenerate this guy. I played against a guy. So my last draft I did, I drafted white-green, and I just lost every game. I didn't know how to pilot it and or draft it. But this guy was fucking me up with a Servant of Timurid deck. Like, it was all based around this. He would, he had the black, defender, the Black Oak of Odunos. It's the defender 05 where you pay a black, tap another untapped creature you control, and black, and this creature gets +1/+1 till end of turn. That's not the important part. Who cares about the counters
just
on this thing?
That other guy.
Being able to tap those other guys.
Freaking inspired.
Yeah. It was just shutting me down and I couldn't attack through the Black Oak and it was just like, fuck dude, this, yeah. It was owning me so hard.
You can try to attack into it, but then you're possibly losing a creature in the process and you're giving them a bunch of extra benefit from inspired.
Yeah, and plus, okay, so I would attack and get through for 3, let's say. Well, it doesn't matter because I'm losing the race because they're actually gonna be able to attack because I'm leaving my board open. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be able to attack with he had like 2 1/3s.
Yeah.
And then, so it does 2 damage to me, and then when they untap, it does another 2 damage to me.
Yeah.
They gain 2 health, so he's doing 4 damage to me, and essentially I'm doing 1 damage because he's gaining my health back. So yep. I was really impressed. I was like, wow, that's, I didn't even think about like that fucking combo, so
yeah.
It was really good.
I think when you're looking at inspired, you're really looking for ways of tapping them without having to go into combat. I think that's really the best way. Of course, you get the added benefit if you have an open board or if they attack on you and they don't have any blockers. Yeah, I might as well just attack and get the inspired trigger that way. But I think if you're really running an inspired deck, you gotta have plenty of ways to tap them without having to go through combat.
Definitely. You know what? Divination is pretty good in this slow blue deck.
Divination is good in anything.
Blue black deck?
Yeah, any drawing cards.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be as good, you know, because in M14 it was slow as shit, so.
M14 was awesome.
In
M14 where opportunity was a bomb.
Right.
And like, you'd have an archetype based off Archaeomancer, Divination, Opportunity.
Yeah, so the format was so slow that.
Yeah.
Divination was one of the best fucking commons, you know, in blue. And now it's, you know, obviously with Theros being much faster than M14 and then throwing Born of the Gods into the mix, Divination is still pretty viable. It's not like, oh my god, I'm gonna second pick this, but it I've second picked fucking Divination plenty of times in M14, you know?
It's one of those cards that just helps you no matter what state you're in. It's not a great, like, when you're behind to draw Divination. But at any point, like, you're top decking, you draw the divination, you're never like, fuck, why'd I have to draw this divination? Why can't I draw anything else?
Card advantage in limited is, like, silly.
Yeah.
You know? Or just card advantage, answers, in, card advantage in general in any format.
Right, but it's harder
like,
in limited. Yeah. You just can't do it unless
you don't have a lot of ways to draw, but.
Constructed, you can make card advantage. This one, you're just like, oh, there it is, there it is. I gotta take it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to go draft.
I am doing really well in the Triple Born of the Gods and also...
Talk about it.
What?
Talk about it. Just doing so well.
Oh, yeah, I will talk about it. God. Hey, did I mention that? No. But I did come in first in a draft and a sealed, which... That's fucking huge for me because that's huge for any of us because we're fucking novices. That's fucking huge. Like, you know, me and Justin went to a PTQ over in here in San Diego. What is it, like a month ago? Yeah. Something like that. We just got our fucking asses fucking handed to us the whole fucking time. And, you know, Justin was playing a pretty, you know, good fucking deck and I was playing kind of a homebrew, you know, deck and we still got our asses handed to us.
You want to mention what you guys were doing though?
I was playing my mill deck. It had, you know, Jace Memory of Depth, some Ashiox, a lot of removal, some counter magic. Vosk, the mind drinker!
Yeah.
Or whatever his fucking name is. And then some consuming aberrations, but it was mostly a low creature deck, a lot of control, until I can get to drop 5 and actually, begin to fucking, like, get my mill on. Because my earlier iterations of that deck, I would start milling early, and I figured out I just need to control the board until I can get it set up the way I want it.
Need
so
stabilize.
Exactly. You know, but I did. I won one game, not even a match, just one game.
Yeah, boy.
Thank you. All right. But it was, That's rough. It was the experience which was cool.
Yeah.
Just being able to go to like a competitive level in person because we never done like, you know, we've done shit online, but actual competitive level. Lot of fucking
that isn't
serious.
Yeah,
that isn't at our local LGS, local game store. Local LGS.
Local game store.
That's a local game store. Yeah. Local LGS.
that's right in our house.
Local LGS game store.
Yeah,
that's RIP in peace.
Or like, you know, going to an ATM machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Like I said, we got our asses into it. What deck were you piloting?
I was piloting a blue-white control deck.
Well, I was kidding. No, you did pretty good, I know.
I did all right. I want to go more to PTQs. I think my kind of thing for Magic is I want to be really good at playing the decks. Like, I'm not so much into, like brewing, like hot sauces, things like that. I want to be able to pick up any deck, kind of take a glance at it, and I want to be able to play it as efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
And then like, once I think I have the understanding of that, then I can kind of take it into like, okay, well I'm going to take some of these decks and I'm going to like modify them. I'm going to make them a little bit better. And once I do that, then I can be like, all right, I'm gonna brew a deck, and I'm gonna make it the best deck I can, because now, like, I've gone through all these other steps, like, I've gone through so many scenarios and see what works, what doesn't work, what effects are really good that you can't replace, and then just kind of, like, start looking at cards and pulling them out and, like, putting them together. So it's gonna be a long process before I can get to, like, the really fun part, like, hot sauce likes doing, like, brewing.
But it doesn't make me a good Magic player. It does, in a sense, but really, I understand what you're saying, that if you can get a deck that's already been proven, but now you know how to play it perfectly,
I
how to sideboard.
Why it works.
Yeah, you know, when something comes out, you're like, alright, I know what I need to answer this. You know
I can just
mean?
See, Simple he can play, like, two lands, and then I can be like, I know what you're playing.
Right.
And I know my game plan now.
And I'm not saying that I can figure, I'm like, okay, Abrupt Decay. I know that's coming out.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah, fine. But, other things, yeah, I don't know how to sideboard. I don't know very well, what's gonna come out. You know, when should I bring this thing out? I do know a little bit because I've played against your control so much.
Yeah.
I'm picking up on the top tier reads. One control stuff a little bit.
You know.
But otherwise, like the red green monster thing, I don't know how to play it yet.
Well, it's just like the difference between like building a car and being a good driver.
Yeah.
Like you can build a car and you could come in last in a race, or you could come in first in a race and not know how to fucking put a car together.
You're not
put
gas in it.
I mean, you could know like all the names of this stuff, but you just don't know how to put it together where, you know, we're trying to do both at the same time. You're going for the better driver aspect first and foremost. We're going for the build a car aspect first and foremost, but we're eventually going
to... Pretty much what it's come down to, you guys build my decks, and then I'll go take them to the pro tour.
We're the pit crew. After game one, you hand over the deck, we fucking sideboard it. Throw back to
you.
Okay, 3.7 seconds. New all-time low. Zach.
So I mean, but we're all going for the same end goal here. Is just be better Magic players.
Be the best Magic player you can be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just with practice comes piloting decks better, getting more practice in, and I think what is really going to help is like because we start talking with each other about like, oh well, you know, with your deck, well, what are you doing in this situation, or you know, how did you anticipate playing this deck, and like just picking each other's brains about it, cause, you know, we do have different styles of play and different, approaches to Magic, so.
Even, like thoughts and ideas on what should be done, it should be done.
I just like built brewing decks because it, like, entertains that little creative part of my brain that wants to create and like be proud of something, you know, but for the most part, all my decks suck. speaking of which, I wanted to pick your guys' fucking brain about this Humans deck. When I saw Painseer come out, I wanted to build a deck with it. And more importantly, I wanted to utilize Agent of the Fates because I was so super excited, but it like doesn't have a home. So, this deck is called Suicide, A Better Way. The deck revolves around Xanthrid Necromancer, which is a 4 of, Agent of Fates, which is a 4 of, and I mean that's kind of it. But so right now, this is a deck I just like threw together while I was at work, pretending to work. I have 4 Banisher Priests, 3 Painseers, 4 Phalanx Leaders, 4 Soldier of the Pantheons, and 2 Tormented Heroes. It's kind of trying to be aggressive and not worrying about, like, losing guys. And for instances, I have 4 Buna Erebos, so my guys can regenerate, 4 God's Willings, and then 4 Heroes' Downfalls, but I want to take those out because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I don't need them. I need something more aggressively costed.
Probably change those out for, like, maybe Thought Seizes.
Yeah, maybe Thought Seizers or something like that.
Just to disrupt their hand long enough where you can get those last points of damage in.
Yeah, so the Agent of Fates, his heroic is, you know, the other player has to sacrifice a creature.
Here's another thing. The Orzhov charm.
Okay.
That allows you to destroy a creature while you take the damage of the toughness, I believe, of that creature.
Okay.
So you destroy a target creature, you minus off your health total the toughness, whatever, right?
Okay.
But also, you get to bring back a 1-mana... creature back from your graveyard.
Okay.
So that would be a thing where you can get 2 creatures because it turns into a zombie anyways. So if you start, some of your stuff dies, you have one of those in your hand, okay, now you can choose to kill one of their things, maybe, if you need to. Otherwise, you can just go ahead and bring back another creature and still play your other creatures, whatever you have in your hand.
Okay.
So if your stuff's going to be dying all the time, you're going to want to figure out a way to bring it back. Also, there's that, it's another Orzhov thing where it's a 5 mana. It's like, 3 white or 3 black and then 2 colorless. An X. And then you
have
an X
model,
you get to bring back.
Yeah, I had that in my rat deck.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that would kind of be really good.
That would be
able to,
you're gonna kill him, and you gotta bring him back. And you gotta kill him, and you gotta bring him back. So.
That would be good.
Fated Return. What is it? Fated Return? Is that what it is?
No. Immortal Servitude.
Yeah, Immortal Servitude. That's right.
What's that? No, not that one. There's another one. The other one that's it's a 3-mana. It's a black plus 2. Whatever creatures died this turn, bring them back onto the battlefield or something.
Oh,
like that,
the one from M14?
Yeah.
I think I would want Immortal Servitude.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little more flexible, especially when you have, like,
a full yard.
It's like a ratchet bomb of return from the graveyard.
Yeah.
What do I want to do here?
But I mean, what? So this wants to be aggressive, and I definitely want Xanthrid Necromancer out, you know, on curve, so whatever dies, shit can come back. And I want to be able to trigger Heroic and keep shit alive with Boon of Erebos's and God's Willings.
Are you playing that one drop that comes untapped?
See, I don't.
Human?
The Tormented Hero.
Oh, yeah, Tormented Hero.
Things.
I don't really know. I don't think that's right.
You're coming in on one drop, and he comes in, and he doesn't attack.
I'd much rather play Soldier of the
Pantheon. Well, I have four Soldier of the Pantheons in here.
Have you thought about? Play that I don't know if you want to do like.
Well, that would be like the only one drop.
I don't
like,
how aggro are you trying to get?
I don't like Phoenix either, by the way.
I want everything that. I want my curve to top out at 3.
Whenever I play with that Phoenix Leader, do that two white for whatever it is, 1/1 that gives everything. It never triggers right. It never hits off. I never get enough value out of it. For 2, I would rather just do something reliable. I have 4 of them, but I just I keep taking them out. I'm like, God, this thing's never working right. You know, it never does enough. And,
okay, so one drop slot, Soldier Pantheon, Tormented Hero. I have 4 soldiers, 2 heroes.
And they're saying
I'd much rather run like a Dried Militant than a Tormented Hero.
Just because it comes untapped?
Yeah.
I don't really care about blocking, though.
Hmm?
It's aggro. I don't care about blocking.
Yeah, well, it comes untapped. Like, I'd rather have the ability to block if I want to than not be able to block.
Hey, do you have the two drop? It's the double white. It's the one that when you hit combat damage to a player, then
gives you a token.
Gives you a token. Because that's more things to die to bring back as 2/2s.
But those aren't human tokens, they're soldier tokens.
Oh, really?
Okay. So this is just, it's more focused on humans. I already checked that out.
Yeah, I thought it was that.
I checked that out because I was like, if those are human tokens, they will be fucking sick.
That would be a great 2.
I mean, I could definitely take out the hero, but the Dryad Militant, that isn't a human, is it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't mind switching that out, it's just, I felt like I need some more 2
drops. That's a human, it's a 2-drop, and it's a downfall or something, you know?
But yeah, it's permanent. High Priest of Penance, 1/1 for white black. Whenever this thing is dealt damage, you may destroy target non-land permanent. Yeah, it's just not like...
It's not aggro, though.
It's not aggro. Yeah.
But it is.
It's more like stopping the board. Because I also had in here for a minute the 3-drop, the 2/1, where you can get an instant or sorcery out of their hand. I forget what it's called. You know,
Sin Collector.
Sin Collector,
yeah.
And it didn't fit.
Didn't do it, okay.
It didn't fit.
Fair enough.
And also I had the,
three,
I had the,
deck like that.
I had
really
the Cartel Aristocrat.
Right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, when I sack a creature, he gains protection, and plus that creature turns into a zombie.
What's the, isn't there like a Tide Drinker or something like that? That's, it has lifelink. It's like a, I don't know if that's not so aggro though.
It's,
It's
like a 2/1 for 2.
Yeah. It doesn't have enough toughness.
So, okay, for the 2-drop, I have, Phalanx Leader and Phalanx Leader. That's all. So.
You have Painseer in there?
Oh yeah, Painseer. I forgot.
I think honestly you should take Painseer out. And what you have there, I think you should take him out. I think you're gonna be like, very underwhelmed, and I think you much rather have a 2/2, a normal 2/2, rather than a 2/2 that might actually get you a card. Then,
well, I don't even really care. It's just
if you had some other way to reliably tap them without having to go through combat, I'd be all
really,
for Painseer.
He really wants to play that card.
I understand.
He's like, I'm gonna take your advice, but this card
get played. I see it maybe netting you a card once in a while.
That is a problem, though. It might not net you what you
want. Well, that's okay. That's the whole thing. Is like, I wouldn't be horribly upset if they just went to go fucking kill it and I got a zombie.
But why not just play a better card then?
What better 2-drop is there?
Do you want to stick with like white, white red? White black? You don't want to like play red or anything like that?
No, if I'm gonna play red, there's already, you know, Cause set. Listen,
if you're going red, black, really red, you gotta play Rakdos Return.
Yeah. Rakdos Return, like Ash Zealot, which is a red colorless.
I mean, I already looked at the humans in red. I mean, there's a lot of humans in red, but I just felt like this, with all the triggers, like God's Willing is a big part of this deck.
And Soldiers of the Pantheon is a big thing for the deck, I'm sure.
Yeah, so with the two heroic guys.
Possible protection, and then it's a 2-1.
The Agent of Fates, so I can either trade up, or I can just target God's Willing on him.
Yeah. I know you're about, but like, Precinct Captain. He's precinct a human, right?
That's what I was talking about, but it doesn't mean human tokens.
No, but you don't worry about the token.
It's still a great card.
I'm just worried about the initial card being a human, because at least I still get value off of that.
Right.
And I still get added value from the attack.
I agree with you. I think it should still go in. I think it's like the best.
Take out Pain Seer, put in Precinct Captain.
All white runs, white weenies run Precinct Captain. Yeah. It's like, that's how good of a card for a white weenie aggro shell.
You get first strike, so now your combat's that much better.
Right.
You get added value, which your Pain Seer is doing, but you get these in terms of tokens, so actual creatures.
Okay.
And things like that. I just think that Pain Seer needs a reliable way to tap without combat, or else you're just going to be underwhelmed.
I think you should try it and see if you're going to be racing yourself a little bit too. You know what I mean? When that thing comes untapped, you draw the card and then you lose the mana, and I know you're going to lose a little bit, but you're still going to
the life?
What's that? The life. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're going to lose the life, and your creatures are going to be tapped because you're attacking aggressively.
Yeah.
So they're going to be able to get in while you're losing life on your own. You might be beating yourself a little bit too.
So the whole reason I wanted Pain Seer in here is because it's an aggressive deck, and aggressive decks tend to
use life.
Play their hand out.
Oh, yeah.
And then not have anything left. And so I didn't want to actually put a slot in here for card draw. So I thought, okay, I can put Pain Seer in.
Right.
He's a human, so if he dies, whatever, he can turn into a zombie. And then if he actually does untap, then I can actually get some card draw out of it. So it's like...
You're kind of going in two different directions, though. Because if you look at all the aggro decks now that we have...
There's not much card draw.
They don't draw cards in those aggro decks. They're looking to kill you by turn five.
It's more like the aggro deck is like... It's so finely tuned that you don't have to worry about card draw. Because every opening hand, like if it's a 7-card hand, you're pretty much going to have, you know, like enough guys. So, and you're going to be drawing the guys, you know, just the way that the deck is tuned. Even you're going to be top decking dudes like no other.
So let's say top this. Decking. You're an aggressive deck with card draw. You're only going to want a card draw when you're at turn 5, 6, 7, later on when you actually need to fill your hand with some gas.
Yeah.
But if you're going to that point anyways...
You might have already lost by now.
You might as well not play aggro. You might as well play control or mid-range.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to build up...
Because you hold your hand,
build up my little army,
and you kill them.
Build up my army with Phalanx Leader.
Yeah. But then again, you also have your card advantage through Xanthid Necromancer. Because you don't have to play another card to get another creature on the board, which it's already going to be a 2-2 to begin with.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally don't.
I'm definitely going to try and play him, but the Precinct Captain was the other 2-drop I was looking at. Just so it could bring out guys.
Yeah, I just don't know how Pain Seer is like. I just don't feel like it's that. It's trying to be like, you know, Bob, the Dark Confidant, but it's just not. I don't think it's for aggro.
There's not going to be a lot of guys in my way when I have Agent of the Fates and Banisher Priest. You know, I'm running 4 of each. So my whole thing is to try and get guys out of the way.
But what if you're running against another wide X weenie deck? Or an aggro deck that wants
that
to...
That curves out like a lot better.
Or like the mono blue deck.
Azorius Arrestor, alright.
That's
enters
one.
The battlefield, detain target creature and opponent controls. It's a 2-1 for 2. But that's not bad at all.
That's not, you
it's,
know,
it's good in the late game. It's good draw in the late game.
But like...
I definitely want to take out Hero's Downfall. Because I just don't think it fits. I need quick, instant, small casting.
What about Boros Elite? The battalion to get, you know, turn into a 3-3.
You need Doomblades.
Doomblades. Yeah, I was kind of thinking those guys. I want guys who kind of be good on their own and not have to rely on.
Another thing, this is a card that I was playing before, man. This thing does work.
Oh, yeah,
if it gets
Daring
in,
Skyjack.
Yeah, that thing is
Daring
shit,
Skyjack.
Dude. It's a real good, I mean, you are missing out on like the system you want, the combo you want a little bit.
Actually that,
it's a 3-1,
that might work. 3-1
for 2. What else is there? It's a 3-1 for 2. 3-1
for 2.
It's just like that, that black red, Rakdos one that's a 3-1 with haste.
Yeah.
Shred
that now it's evasive.
No, Spike Jester.
Yeah, instead of haste, now it's evasive. You know, that's sick, dude. It's a sick card.
Okay, I might put that in there.
What is Shred Freak? Is that red or is that black?
It's a red black. Or it's black. One red, one black.
So, okay, take out what Painseer for.
You still want to try it though, right?
That's the whole point. So oh, I definitely
you're
want
have to
try
put it.
It
in there for a little bit to see how.
I mean, I agree with you guys. I'm trying to force, even though I know that like there's better stuff. So I feel like, you know, take out Tormented Hero, put in Daring Skyjack, maybe take out Painseer for Precinct Captain or Daring
Skyjack.
How about
World Spire Worm? Is that good for this deck?
I think so, if I can bring it out of the graveyard. but for instance-wise, Buna Erebos and God's Willing, they both protect my guys. But Hero's Downfall, I don't know what else I could put in that protection.
How many creatures do you have in your deck?
25.
How many of them are one drops?
4, because the Tormented Heroes, I have 6.
You need at least 8 one drops.
That's why I was trying to figure out what else to put in.
There's not very many red.
Ride Militant, Soldier of Pantheon,
Boros, whatever it's called.
I'd say like Cackler, but he's not human.
Yeah,
Cackler's really good.
Boros Elite. That's the one.
That's the one drop.
That Battalion makes it a 3/3.
Battalion, yeah.
Nah, but I want to do damage right off the bat.
Okay.
I'd much rather the 2 damage right away.
Okay, fair enough.
Than have to go in with 3 just to get something else.
Yeah, there's not too many, like, black one drops that are aggro.
No, you're going to have to go in white.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So what would replace Hero's Downfall as a protective cheap instant?
I would say, like, Doomblade or something. Just to kill creatures, or you want, like, something that's...
I could fuck with some Doomblades, you know?
But I don't think Doomblade's so good right now, because it only kills target non-black creature, and a lot of people are playing black, like, in the
What about that that double white that it's...
Celestial Flare?
Celestial Flare.
Devour Flesh, Ultimate Price.
Can't talk, man.
You can always run Devour Flesh, Ultimate Price.
Yeah, Ultimate Price. Actually, that might work. I think I definitely have to play test, but I just want to like pick your guys' brain about it because this is a deck that I'm actually thinking about making in paper and on Modo.
You could also think of taking out the Downfalls and putting in a couple Spear of Heliods. It's a way to remove a creature if you need to. It's not going to take out a Storm Breath. Yeah.
Doesn't that give you a plus one?
It's going to pump all your guys.
Pumps all your guys, and then you can leave. That'll be your.
It's also going to pump your zombies. When all your shit's tapped, it'll leave. You're going to have 3/3 zombies instead of 2/2 zombies.
Okay.
That'd be cool. If you could attack with your mana still untapped, right?
Yeah.
You can attack all your guys. All your shit's tapped out. Now, when he attacks, you're going to have to kill one of those things. You've got 3 mana sitting there. You're like, come on at me. I'm going to hit you again next turn, but I'm going to leave it. All my shit's all going to be tapped. And then, because you're going to take a creature each turn.
So take out the 4 Downfalls, put 2 spears, and then put 2 something else.
Some other removal.
Xanthard Necromancer says it has to die or it just leaves the battlefield.
It says...
Because I can't remember off the top of my head.
Dies.
When it dies. Yeah. Okay. So I was trying to think of like some cool like little shenanigans you probably could have done with like Whip. But that's you're exiling.
That's a tough aggro brew though. I mean that's
yeah.
I feel like if you're trying to go aggro, I mean it's like it seems good, like but White Weenie does a lot of things.
You need like 8 one drops better. And you need like 12 2 drops.
Yeah.
To reliably curve out 1/2/3.
Yeah. I thought humans could be a thing, you know, and not... It's not that I wanted to base the deck around Painseer, but seeing Painseer made me think, where the fuck is this card going to go? What deck is it going to go on?
I don't think it has a home anytime soon.
Exactly, like this was the only deck I could think of, like, oh, like a humans deck. Yeah. That was the only place. That's what made me want to build it.
One guy you played with the Defender that taps things, and he was playing it where he can gain life as well.
Yeah.
I think you pair those 3 cards together, you kind of have something going there.
Have like a control-y...
Yeah,
like a Dimir,
I draw a lot of cards,
splash.
I drain you, I gain a lot of life. It's kind of like what blue-white control deck's kind of doing, but you're breaking down a Sphinx's Rev and, down into a couple cards.
What I miss.
Dude, we totally solved AIDS.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Damn it.
Alright, yeah. Like I said, I just want...
That's a good start. I mean, you have to maybe just, you know...
I'm going to have to play test it, but, like, definitely I'm going to try and switch out some
You can either throw the Siren Song Lyre on your pain seer, you have a way to tap something down, and you have card advantage.
That's a lot of mana, though, to get it. Two to equip,
yeah.
Two to bring it out, two to equip, and
that's
two to tap.
Too slow.
That's a limited card for sure. Like, definitely four inspired.
Paying four mana to draw one card.
No, that's a pretty strong effect.
Six mana to draw
two.
To draw one card and lose life. I'll let you pay six mana to do that.
Well, you're also tapping a creature down, too. So yeah. I mean, there is that benefit.
And then I'm just like, Kyo's follower, bam! Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, do we have anything else we want to talk about? Maybe some speculations on some card prices, what we think is going to go up, go down, what we're looking to drop so we can pick up. Anything?
Buy more lands.
Shock lands. All the shock lands.
Before rotation, I plan on buying all the shock lands. I have all the scry lands right now.
Yeah, I think shock lands a good bet. And
buy, the Cursor of Crucifix. That's always,
Cursor's already spiking right
I'm
now.
I'm pissed that I traded it to Hot Sauce, right? right off the bat.
Oh, no.
I think Cursor's I good. I think Spirit of the Labyrinth is going to be a good one as it starts picking up, more play in Legacy, because that's where the true power of that card's really brought out.
Sounds funny. The true power.
The true power. Well, you have a card against, it's good against Sphinx's Rev because, you make it so they can't draw cards, they'll get into life. But, yeah. That's, you're only playing a couple of those, and a lot of people are playing a lot of card draw spells. But in Legacy, you have things Preordain, okay, you get to look at the top three cards of your library, you draw the top three cards of your library, and you can put it back in any order. Well, now what I just essentially did is I put that in there, I made you cast a spell, and you can't even draw your cards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're playing that pretty much every single turn, and they're playing multiple of those in a turn, mm-hmm. pretty much. So, it just shuts them out.
So you think sideboard is for that card? You think it's a good sideboard or main deck?
It could be a good main deck, but it's okay. Definitely a good sideboard card. Yeah. But other than that, I don't see anything too exciting spec-wise in Born of the Gods.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. I mean, there might be some hidden in there, but I don't see it.
Command I mean, there's right there.
It's not hidden at all. That's shouting at us with all the colors.
Front center. Yeah. That five colors. Yeah, I don't know.
Pick me.
And the reason why is that there's a lot of cards in the set that I feel that are copies from cards that come from older sets, but they couldn't obviously reprint them because they'd be too powerful in the set. Things like Painseer being a Dark Confidant wannabe. You have the Fellheit Spirit Binder, which is trying to be like a Kiki Jiki wannabe. Things like that. There's not a lot, Brimaz, Cursor, or Cursor Crucifix are probably about besides the Scrylands, are probably about the only cards I'd ever look into investing in.
Right.
Yeah, and I think they're already kind of up there now.
Yeah, a lot of the cards.
If you didn't get in on the ground level, I think it's already probably too late now.
That Planeswalker is going to go down. It's $19 right now. $19.
Yeah, well, all of them are really hyped right
30,
now.
Right?
It was
or maybe
30.
That was on Modo.
But that was pre-release.
That was pre-release.
It wasn't when it actually came out. It was down to 22.
Because on Modo, I was hoping to pull one on Modo just so I could fucking sell it.
Yeah, dude. I know we talked about it a little bit, but it's really $20. Come on, it's not changing the game like that. It just isn't doing that to me.
I've only seen one pro run a deck with it in it, and that was a Bant's Walkers deck where, it was blue, white, green, and they played just a bunch of Planeswalkers.
Yeah, I just saw somebody go top 8 with a Chromanticore deck.
Nice.
How do you like that?
What?
Yeah.
Where? Standard or sealed?
Standard.
When?
I don't know, it was online. I don't know, it was probably a week ago, maybe not even.
Oh, a standard Moto?
No, online. It was paper, I believe.
Oh.
I think. I don't know.
Like
I think
Star City?
It was paper.
Star City something?
Something like that. I know it was paper because I had a picture of it. And it had Blood Baron. It had all kinds of
that's why.
Funky stuff in it. You know what I mean?
You just gotta play Blood Baron and you win most of the games.
Yeah, it was Blood Baron. It was what were we just talking about? The 3-mana top of your card, top of your deck is really revealed and
Courser.
The Courser. It had I can't really think of the rest of it. Anyways, I was watching them play it and it seemed all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're doing all right.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, we'll have to see what the next was it, Into the Knicks.
Poipernos.
Journey in the Knicks.
Journey in the Knicks, because I think, like, a lot of, like, the cards, like, the meta out there for standard, it's already so solidified with, like, mono blue, mono black. Like, a lot of cards didn't really push any of those over the top anymore, because they're already just so, like, so good right now as they are. I mean, we'll have to see.
I didn't think, like, mono blue and mono black really gained that much.
No, they didn't.
I think, the green red decks and the white weenie decks really got a lot of, to, be able to compete with the mono blue and mono black.
Yeah, mono black's still, like, just probably one of the best decks in the format, and I don't think it's going to go away as long as Thought Seize is in the format and that kind of thing.
I think this set was way better than Dragon's Maze, because everyone's saying, here comes the next Dragon's Maze. First of all,
I can't agree with that.
I don't think so either. I think it's about the same. I like Dragon's Maze.
Really?
People hate it. I
think it's
when
a
you
lot.
Have, when you have a card like Sphinx's Rev and Voices Resurgence,
that's
in
true,
the
Voice
set,
came out.
Just those two cards alone beats every card in this deck, in this format, in Born of the Gods. Every single card.
But still, so there's two cards in that set that are huge playables now?
Well, there's a couple more that are, like, huge, that are, like, linchpins to decks, but, like...
Well, think about, like, after rotation, Brumaz and what's the other fucking great card out of this set?
Cursor.
Cursor.
Which is actually another wannabe reprint, but
so they're probably gonna be the linchpins.
Oh yeah, the one drop. Yeah, I'm really kind of interested to see what comes out.
Duels, where it allows you to play an extra land.
Is it a one
play
drop
on the top? No, it's like a two or three drop.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. It was one. Okay.
Regardless, I'm having a lot more fun drafting this than I did with fucking.
I think the overall general level of Born of the Gods is better than Dragon's Maze, but I think Dragon's Maze is better just for Voice of Resurgence and Sphinx's Revelation.
Meh.
Wait, Sphinx's Revelation, is that the one that's the instant, the blue-white instant? That's not Ravnica?
That's Dragon's Ravnica. Maze.
Yeah, Sphinx's is
Ravnica.
Ravnica. I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, I mean...
Dragon's Maze.
Pretty sure it's Ravnica. But anyways, I'm ready to play some standard. How about you guys?
Yeah.
We're fucking 2 hours and 17 minutes into this motherfucker.
We are deep into this fucker.
I'm kind of ready for you guys to go home, actually.
Go to bed now.
Yeah, I gotta jerk off. Dude. I got an appointment.
Dude, my girlfriend just left. I gotta go jerk off real fast. Take a nap. So we were supposed to play a sealed, one of the Return to Ravnica block, one of each, so Return to Ravnica, Dragon's Maze, Gatecrash, and then we're gonna do M14, Theros, and Born of the Gods, all in a sealed pool, one of each. But unfortunately we don't have time to do that today, so we're just gonna do some, standard. Maybe some commander. I haven't played I haven't played my mill deck in a while.
By the beach, man.
By the beach, boy. So yeah, we're just gonna get down some standard, and hopefully next time we podcast, we'll do the sealed afterwards. We're shooting for next weekend for that. So, you know what? If I am still half a retard and I can't figure out how to upload this to MTGCast, we are putting all these episodes on YouTube. So, you know what? Look up If Lands Could Kill on YouTube. We have a Facebook page, I believe. All of these things aren't really...
fleshed out yet.
Yeah, we just created them. There's not really any great graphics or anything.
What I'm shooting for is a website where we can start hosting these by the next podcast whenever it comes out.
Okay,
perfect. At least like a main page that, you know, it's just one page, doesn't have to have any links besides links to the podcast, so.
Yeah, and
at least we can have that and we can build off of it.
Maybe we can get GoDaddy as a sponsor or something like that.
$2.99.
<whatever. laughs>
And, we'll eventually post our Twitter and Twitch handles and all that fucking crap. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, you know, we can ignore you because we're big shots now.
Yeah.
And so we won't respond to you. But so anyways, that's it for the episode. I'm going to mill these guys out right now. So, thanks for tuning in to Lands Could Kill.
Thanks for tuning in. If Corey could talk.
I'm so drunk right now. big shout out to MTGCast and to Chewy for really helping out with all the mishaps getting us going, all the mishaps that I'm running into. Thanks for tuning in. This is Knife City.
Reich.
Oh, quickness.
Hot sauce.
And we'll check you guys later. Peace.
Yeah, buddy.
Silence.
I feel like a podcast.
Feels like a podcast. All right, make sure we have the mythic spoiler.
My crotch is itchy. I hope it's not crabs.
Testies, 1, 2, 3.
New York.
Yeah, unique.
One of those stoner memes is like do crabs, or when crabs see fish, do they think they're flying?